and welcome to episode 8 of the Adeptus Terra podcast. I'm Matt.
And I'm Sam.
And here we are again this month. We've got cool stuff to share with you. We're talking about the Mordian Iron Guard. And we're talking about all the accessories that we have on our gaming table. So that's going to be pretty cool.
What do we call this episode?
We haven't got a name yet.
I like the one with the many starts.
Yeah, it probably is by now.
Yeah, we're at like 3 starts. Listen to in the bloopers. That. You'll hear them all.
You'll get them at the end of the episode, so enjoy. We're quite excited. We're recording on a Saturday, which is a little bit different. Don't worry, it'll still be out at the same time, looking at Sam.
I'll edit. It'll be all right.
Yeah, it will. It'll be done. So we're recording a little later in the week just because of, timetabling.
Yeah.
It's middle of the day and we're all kind of quite awake and it's clearly not a good thing. Lots of bloopers coming your way.
It's subdued. Normally we're quite like mellow.
Yeah, we're really energetic and buzzing.
And I found a strobe light.
Well, I am quite tired. We have played. You'll hear about this next month because we've literally just done it. But we played a doubles game against two brothers. Literally an hour ago, finished off
3K.
Yeah, 3K. So you'll have to listen again next month to see who won. Woo!
Who did win?
Us. Oh, damn.
Well, that was easier than I thought.
Damn it. Still going to have to listen for the details in the armies.
Who did you play again? Was I?
Shush. Shush. We're going to go straight into our first segment. Let's get this on the road. It's the news from Terra. Sam, purchases.
Right, so this month I have been up to, Warhammer World.
You'll hear
a little
course.
Bit more about it in the MISC section.
I'm now glum.
But I went to Forge World. I had my week off from work in between my two jobs. And played a few games with a few new friends. And I purchased, while I was up there, Inquisitor Hector Rex.
Yeah, well done.
To be my Inquisitor for my 750 point force. Pretty stoked. I've cleaned up all the flash on him and started chiseling away all the extra bits that I don't think are part of the model. You know, you always get on when, especially in Forge World resin, there's always that little like chunk or something, and you kind of think, is that?
Oh, that was an
there?
Antenna array.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, I have no idea. So I've sort of got to the model where I'm a bit happy. It's really like, I know he's gold, like he's meant to be painted gold, and I don't want to do that because I don't think I could do it justice enough.
You're not sure on your colour scheme yet? It's going with your inquisitorial force.
He needs to stand out, and I've already got an inquisitor which is white with purple robes.
Yes.
So I could do the same sort of thing, and like he'd be the same guy, but just like beefed up into.
Yeah, that could be cool.
I'm not running him as Hector Rex.
Yeah.
So, well, I can do because they're the same points, but I'm not planning on running him as Hector Rex. So it'll basically be. I could have him as the Inquisitor in Termi armor, and then have the Inquisitor without Termi armor in lower pointed games, or if I need to squeeze some stuff in to get to 1500.
Yeah, you can always cut him out and cut him out the model. Yeah,
and
that's
then just
cool.
Follow the same color scheme. It'll just be white, and white's always difficult to
White's a difficult color to do. Yeah, I try and avoid it. I mean, most people kind of start from a bone upwards.
Yeah.
Or gray upwards.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just look at some techniques, I guess.
Yep. Look on the old YouTube. Yeah.
Got Rex.
Hector Rex. I also got 10 crew guys.
Oh, okay. Finally.
Finally got the 10 crew
don't
guys.
Don't have to proxy your other squad.
They will complete the human part of my 2K guard force. So that'd be quite good. And I also got the Valkyrie upgrade kit to make it into a Vendetta.
Yeah.
So I know everyone says, obviously, make your own, just put las cannons on it. But one, I was looking, I don't really have any las cannons, so I'm going to have to buy them.
Yeah, so buy the bits and then have to kind of carve bits out to make them fit and work.
The easiest thing for me to do, being completely lazy as I am, is just to buy the upgrade kit.
Yeah.
Do you know what, actually?
It's made for it. It's going to look better than conversions most of the time.
Bit of a wide line to cast there.
No, it's true. Unless you're going to put hours and hours and hours and a lot of money.
Which I won't.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of money into something, then actually the bit that's made for it, especially Forge World, which, let's face it, their models are phenomenal, it's going to look better. So, yeah.
And
why
for
not?
16 quid.
Yeah, 16 quid gives you a... You only need one, so it's not like you're buying four.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the old days of Valkyrie Vendetta spam.
Yeah. And I suppose the best thing is with that is I was up there and they didn't actually have it cast at that point.
Oh, really?
So they thought it was a really, really good thing, a kind of very Games Workshop like, and they would just send it to you for free. They don't charge you for posting packaging.
Yeah, because you order it up there. Yeah,
exactly. So I basically just got it sent to me for free. Like 2 days later, it turned up. Haven't bought the Vendetta yet, so kind of just sitting in a box at the moment. I've gone through again and picked up all the
salute.
Flash. Salute!
You can buy it as salute.
Well,
it makes logical sense.
My new work is 5 minutes around from the corner from Darksphere.
That's true.
So my aim is to every time I get paid is to go buy something from Darksphere.
Oh really? Okay, you're gonna start. Cause you used to do that at Games Workshop when you worked in Southend.
Yeah, when I got paid and then when I got something. So this is something I kind of think it's quite cool. It's like a little reward. Yeah. Like I've suffered a month worth of work, so let's buy myself something. So now I've gone and I haven't bought anything yet. I went and scouted it out. Really cool shop. Like it's under the train bridge, so it's in like an art, like the old school arches, and it's just floor to ceiling models.
Yeah, I don't think
they have a stock room. So when I was in there, they were boxing stuff up, picking stuff off the shelves.
Oh, okay.
All I need to see is you get a better discount from buying online.
Oh really?
So I want to see. So I want to see if I can buy online.
And pick up
in store.
I would talk to them about it. It might be that they'll offer that to you. I don't know.
I don't know why you do it. But
I guess because they're in the middle of London, no one's going to travel to their store, so they offer a better deal online.
Mm.
But then for the people going in there, almost getting a bit of a bum deal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a bit weird. Yeah.
So I'm going to go and get those, and hopefully it'll mean it will accelerate the completion of my force. From just looking through everything, I only need to buy two eradicators.
Demolishers.
Damn it. Oh, damn.
Every time.
Two demolishers and a Valkyrie kit. And then I am... Oh, I'm 10 bases for the Krieg guys. And then I am actually done with the force.
The
I need to
guard
build it.
And the Valkyries for your...
No, the Valkyries for my guard force.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I switched it out.
It's a Vendetta in your... Yeah, I remember. Sorry.
So the Vendetta. So I can put that in there. And then I'm... And then I'm done with my 2K. I just need to build it and paint it.
Yeah, and then you can work on your 3K, adding in your Banebase.
Well, I'm going to stop for now on guard. I'm going to go and... Well, I'll talk about it later under Misk, but I'm doing a lot of stuff for my Blood Angels now.
Yeah.
And I want to finish my Inquisition Force.
Good.
I'm going to finish my Inquisition Force, which at the moment, all I need to do is buy those 10 more guys from Anvil Miniatures, which Darksphere do sell.
Oh, okay. They'll be at Salute as well.
They will be at Salute.
Buy everything at Salute.
I'm pretty much on the Friday. I get paid on the Friday before Salute. Friday, I'm going to walk down to Darksphere, pick up two demolishers.
Okay.
And at Salute, I'm going to pick up a Vendetta.
The Valkyrie kit.
Yeah. And
your
Anvil miniatures. Because I don't really...
And the bases you need.
And the bases. I don't really want to necessarily go and pick up stuff and carry it around with me. So I can get... Like, last time I came home with loads of foam in a case, and it was just so much effort carrying it back.
Yeah, we both bought double KR cases,
exactly.
Didn't we? And then
so,
trying to get that back on the train along with our bags and being knackered after walking around all day.
So if I can fit it all in one backpack, I'll fit it all in one backpack. And
yeah,
just
makes sense.
Get smaller
kits.
And then I can see if there's anything ad hoc extras.
Yeah.
That's the aim. But we'll talk about Salute in Misk.
Yeah. And obviously next month's episode will be us sharing everything that we got at Salute. So,
so what did you purchase this month?
Much.
And I can feel the air of eBay coming on.
Yeah, there was a bit of eBay. I haven't bought anything for a while, as you guys know, really, like kind of odds and ends and bits. I don't know, it feels like I haven't bought anything for a while. I probably have if I went back and looked at my notes. But yeah, I bought 5 Orc Storm Boys off of eBay, which came nice and cheap. I got an Orc truck off of eBay. And I bought some skull markers for wounds.
Okay, cool.
So you saw them today.
Use them today in the game.
Yeah. So that's quite cool. I kind of always thought about getting something. These popped up. They were, I think, £1 with a £1 postage for 10. So pretty good. And they look pretty cool. So they're quite a nice way of marking wounds rather than dice in which you pick up.
We will talk about this in
which
the
later
segment.
We will talk about that later segment. Like we said, accessories of your gaming. That's our last segment for today. So we'll go back to that. But that's all I've bought. I mean, I would have bought a lot more because I need a lot more. But I didn't go to Forge World or Warhammer World like somebody.
Mm. I offered if you wanted me to buy anything.
I know.
And you said no.
I know,
so.
Because it's the only way I can actually say no. My self-control is awful. I was like, oh, if I'm there, that's it. I've bought something. But luckily I didn't go. I was really gutted that I didn't get to go. I mean, you haven't shared anything about who you went with or anything. Do you want to save that?
I'll do it in Misk.
Okay.
Misk
games,
is going to be awesome.
Games.
Yeah, games.
Just before games.
Good point.
So yeah, Sam went off to Warhammer World and met up with some cool guys, and you'll hear about that in a second. But building. So you said you've started taking the flash off of Hector Rex. Have you done anything else?
No. So I pretty much, with Hector Rex, because he's a complicated model, and I want him to look really cool.
And a centerpiece.
He will be the centerpiece. I'm going to do what Matt hates and paint it separately.
I just gringed while I drank then. That nearly came out my nose.
I'm going to paint the model separately and then put it together later, purely because Have you seen it? It's the detail in it.
I don't care.
Well, you're not painting it, so it'll look really cool.
Ow. Ow.
No, it was. You missed the punctuation.
I'm not painting it.
It will look really cool, and I will build it separately. Well, you can not talk to me, but it's going to be really eerie 3 hours if I just talk to myself.
Yeah, it will be. Okay, so you've just been playing around with Hector Rex and not doing anything else.
I have built, I don't know if I did it last time, built the 5 Terminators.
Well, I was trying to remember, but I don't have any. That last episode, you didn't make any notes at all, if you remember.
No, I don't remember.
Told you off.
Maybe. Okay, cool. So if not, then I'm going to do it twice. I've built 5 Terminators for my Grey Knight Force.
Yeah.
And also changed up a lot of the Grey Knight Strike Squads.
Oh, you turned them from Purifiers to Strike Squads. Because the code exchange.
Yeah. 10-man Strike Squad with all with halberds. So I know I had to do some conversion. Well, I say conversion, some changing and work of ripping off arms and stuff. Yeah. So that got done. They were then base coated, and then I painted them up till, I think it was 3-4 in the morning worth of painting the day before our game.
It fully was, because you were like, I need to get them finished. And you didn't even finish them.
No, right. Okay, I finished them bar one dude who had the falchions ripped off. And then, sorry, falchions put on.
Yeah.
And then he didn't paint the sword.
Yeah, the swords were black.
It was the black sword of death.
No, it wasn't. You didn't finish.
Right, whatever. they're now finished anyway.
Yeah,
I'm actually going back through them and repainting all the swords, because I don't like them being blue.
Oh, wow.
They're all being painted silver. Because they're swords.
Okay, not doing any power fields or anything like that?
Nope.
Okay. They're power weapons, are they?
Yeah, but I don't see the point. I don't want to paint lightning on them, and I don't want to paint them blue.
Fair enough.
I might wash them blue, but...
Yeah, that does look pretty good, actually. I've seen that done well.
That's the idea. So I sat there and painted until like 3-4 in the morning and got them done. I posted a photo on saying when I'd finished them.
Oh, yes, I remember, yeah.
Man,
was that last month?
It was last month.
This has been a long month.
Because after we recorded on the Thursday, I finished work, and then I had that week.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you had that week, and we were playing on the Thursday, I think. And so you had, like, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or something.
Yeah, and then painted it up.
Yeah.
So got them all done. They all were finished. We had our game. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And
anything else built?
I can't think of anything else
built. I know
built.
You went into a bit of painting, but I'll let that slide.
I can't think of anything else I've built.
Okay.
I'm sure there must be something. Must be something. Go on.
I don't know. You have a think. I built the Orc Stormboys that I bought off eBay. They needed a few arm switches and bits. I also had a box of 4 that I was given by my friend John. And so I built those 4 up. So I've now got 9 out of the squad of 20 that I'm going to do. So that's kind of nearly halfway. They're ready to be sprayed and undercoated. And I also built 10 tank busters. So again, for my Orcs, they're 10 Orcs with rocket launchers. So they're pretty fun. I'm looking forward to playing them. Even 2 squeak bombs as well, just for fun. You get to face them.
Is that in your next list?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to show
this
mine.
Is all my Orc 2K. So yeah, tank busters for the win. So I built those. I mean, they didn't take very long, but I haven't had a lot of time to myself this month, for lots of reasons, really, personal and work. Lots of projects going on, lots of kind of finishing at work, and reopening the youth centre and the skate park has been a lot of my time. I haven't really had a full day off for quite a while, so I haven't been able to do too much. Like, I've got stuff waiting to be done, but it's just taken a long time, I guess. So they're the only 2 kits that I've really kind of built. So it was like one afternoon for a couple hours just building some Orc Goat dudes, but I had a load of fun.
Yeah.
It was nice to build and kind of see units that I've never used before, and look at the kit that I've never had before and all that stuff. It was like a mini new adventure. It was quite cool. I'm so used to, you know, Space Wolves and Space Marines and Nids now, that actually seeing an Orc kit that I haven't ever used or put together was really refreshing.
Yeah.
So that made me want to do more, but unfortunately I haven't had any time to do it anymore.
Nope.
But that's just the way of the world. What about painting?
Painting-wise, let's go back to my actual notes rather than looking at that. Painting-wise, I painted the Grey Knights. They got done. Slightly different way of painting than I have done before, where I was doing edge highlighting. I've relied a lot more on dry brushing, which I thought may look better.
Is that the Terminators that we're talking about? I really like the way your Terminators turned out. I couldn't tell
which one was which.
What way you
so
did what?
The old way to do it was edge highlighting and then shade in, and then the new way I'm doing it is dry brushing, just different shades.
It's a lot quicker.
It's a lot quicker.
As long as you get it right, I guess.
And get it right, and don't... I find the first one will be quite purple, but a lot lighter purple, and then the last one will be a lot darker, so I need to kind of work on my leveling, but they all come out fine. Like, I think they all look
they
all
right. They all do look good. I mean, your paint's a higher, much higher standard
buy?
Than mine.
I went to the Wayland Games Southend store opening.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay,
I bought paintbrushes. So
oh,
I have bought something else.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So I bought something non-Warhammer.
Well. Stuff for Warhammer.
They were the... It was a pack of the army painter brushes.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I use those now.
Yeah.
I don't touch Games Workshop ones.
They're so
the Games Workshop ones are good.
They just...
When you first have them.
Yeah, you basically... If you could get a new brush every time you painted a different unit, absolutely fine.
Yeah. But they fray very quickly, and I find the army painter lasts a little bit longer.
I've seen people have the same GW brushes for like years.
Yeah, maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm doing something completely wrong, and then just basically making them dirty.
Yeah, too heavy handed or something. I don't know.
But oh well, I've started watering down my paints more, so it should be fine to keep.
Yeah, something I want to look into. I mean, I'm quite happy with the way my orcs are painted. And feel free to chime in there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, they're okay.
They're all right.
Do you know what, actually, they are really good.
They're all right.
I think green is quite not an easy colour, but a nice colour to paint.
You can pull it off.
With the dark wash they do, the green comes out really well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It can work really well.
And I think we were saying about this the other day, how I don't feel that I can paint or play orcs.
Yeah.
Because I can't paint that well to be bad.
Yeah, like so rusty,
exactly,
dirty.
So we're
kind of stuff.
We were having the discussion over armies that we currently play with, and I've obviously quite an Imperial Force army.
Yeah,
Grey Knights, Blood Angels,
Guard, Inquisition.
Yeah, I've got completely power armor or Imperium forces. So
yeah.
I kind of want to do something different, but then I was kind of thinking, I don't really want to paint Elder. Like I like Elder, but with the new Craftworld book that's just come out,
Starting over again, and I don't know.
It's just effort. The level of effort to win ratio.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a fan of Eldar, like, not just because of some of the rules, which I've, like, the Wave Serpent stuff, and, yeah. I mean, everyone talks about that stuff when they first came out, and I'm sure, and the internet's full of stuff about this codex, but I'm just not into the aesthetic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, personally, I know you quite like it, but I don't.
And I don't like Tau.
No.
Let's just move on from there.
Yeah.
And orcs are kind of
it's your... It's a trap.
Yes. Okay. Orcs are kind of your bag, plus I can't paint... I won't never be able to paint them to do them justice. So what's left?
Necrons,
which I just spray silver.
Yeah,
I can spray them purple.
No.
I just spray them silver.
Yeah, I don't see Necrons as a crazy challenge, I guess. Like, that's going to sound really arrogant. I don't mean... that people who play Necrons are clearly not good painters, because I've seen some amazing models.
Absolutely.
But for me, because of the way I paint and the laziness and the time, maybe, I'd just, like you say, spray grey. No, grey.
Now the new lead belch yeah. paints out. You can just spray them that, wash them down, and then dry brush mithril silver over the top.
And they're done. And I would do that.
To a tabletop standard. Like,
yeah,
all right,
very quick.
The guns wouldn't be... that right, but it's only little detail.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I kind of want to do another
chaos.
Army chaos we
chaos
doing,
can be interesting.
We did talk about doing a chaos dark angel force.
Yes.
Having a dark angel force,
fallen angels,
playing as
black armored.
Yeah,
which black's quite difficult to paint, so
yeah.
to paint well, and yeah, and all the detail in them. It's not the kind of crazy messy stuff unless you go Nurgle.
No.
But is very different. So you have brass edging, you've got horns, you've got really weird tentacle, like, you know, bit of skin here, bit of armor there. So that you could have some real fun learning new techniques and blending and things like that, which I like to see. I mean, some Chaos players I see with their armies, they look unbelievably good because you've got skin fusing with armor and they've somehow blended that together.
Yeah.
I don't understand how to do that.
And I don't know, maybe... Maybe I just wait, get all my projects done. That's like 2 years down the line,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll go from there.
Yeah, there'll be like two more codexes by that time.
And what about Mechanica?
Yeah, the new AdMech. Yeah, yeah, because that's silver, but then you've got
the
robes.
And it's not, you can play them as Chaos, you can play them as...
Yeah, you can play them as Dark Mechanicum. That'd be a cool ally force. Do a small force of them and then almost do Chaos, wait for the main new codex, and then do a main force of Chaos.
I guess it's just one of those things where it was brought up by the guys from the...
Get into 30k.
I'm not getting into 30k.
Oh.
I went up to Forge World with the guys from the Path of the Artesian. Artesian, is that how you say it?
Artisan.
Artisan? Right.
I haven't talked about any of my stuff yet.
Okay.
You trying to jump ahead?
No, I was just going to... They basically pointed out that from listening to the podcast that there's not that much of a variety of people we game or play against.
Oh, yes, the types of armies, yeah.
So that's what kind of got me thinking about doing a different force.
Mm.
Like, don't get me wrong, I'm never going to get rid of what I've got. Well, I'm never going to get rid of what I've got.
Fully.
Fully. But maybe it is time to do it, is it, as Xenos Army.
And something new, yeah. Or maybe a Chaos Army. Maybe it is.
It just made me think.
Yeah. I mean, it was very interesting. We had that, again, had that conversation, was it Thursday when we were supposed to be recording?
Probably.
When we were supposed to be recording and then didn't.
No, we were never going to record on Thursday.
No, but still. Anyway. But yeah, when we were sitting together, we were having that conversation, and I think it's not that our group of gamers haven't got the variety, but we tend to play the same people in our group of gamers, just availability mainly, and the guys that we see. So today was quite nice because we played Liam and his brother, we'll talk about that next episode mainly, but that was nice because Liam's been away at uni and his brother only comes down every now and again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was nice. They were new people, same armies, but new people. So that was cool. So I think it's kind of a bit of both. We've got a bit like we normally play the same people and they either have one army or play just one army.
Yeah.
So we have that kind of repetitiveness. So yeah, something to watch out for.
Yep, indeed.
Anyway, my painting.
Yes.
Before we go into, I want you to talk about the guys because that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, my painting. I did a bit on a Tranifex.
Woohoo!
I'm done.
Really?
There you go. Yeah.
Really.
I've had just a nightmare with painting. Not. Do you know what? Not because I really am not in the mood to do it. So I remember, I think last month or maybe even two episodes ago, I spoke about painting being my real kind of hill to climb. You know, I was really struggling with doing it and just wasn't finding any fun in it. I'm not at that place anymore. I want to paint.
Yeah,
I'm getting excited. Like making the Storm Boys, making the Tank Busters made me want to go out and spray them and get them painted. Like I'm really wanting to paint, but I've just had no time whatsoever to sit down for longer than half an hour. Like literally, it's just been so crazy. You know, we've either been getting the house ready because we've been doing lots of changing of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting a new bed. We're sleeping on a sofa bed, which, you know, kind of knocked out most things because I used to get in from work and that was where I used to either do a bit of hobbying or playing on the computer or whatever. But Jenny's asleep in the front room for the last week and a half. So I haven't been able to do anything then. I haven't had my Mondays off because of stuff at work. Just it's been so busy that I haven't been able to paint.
Yeah.
It's been a bit gut-wrenching because I've really wanted to. Like, I've really, really wanted to, and I don't want that feeling to go away before I actually get a chance.
Yeah.
But I think I've got this Monday off, so hopefully I should get some stuff actually done in that front on painting because I want to get stuff painted. Like, because of all the changes I've done to my Space Wolves, which we will get to again, just throwing that teaser out. makes me want to paint them as well, which I haven't felt that way for ages.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I'm really excited about that. But anyway, Path of the Artisans, go.
Right, so they got in contact with us via the Facebook, plug for the Facebook. Basically said that they were going to go to Warhammer World, would we like to come up and meet them and just have a laugh and go from there.
Yeah.
And basically Matt works.
It fell on the last day of the skate park build.
Yeah.
So we had ramp builders in and stuff, and they were clearing out and, you know, needed to sign off the site because it was a work, you know, a construction site.
Yep.
Hand everything back, do all that kind of stuff. So I just couldn't go. And I was really gutted. And I sent it over to you thinking you'd be like, oh, I can't go either because I'm at work. But it just so happened to be in between you changing jobs.
And it was the last day before I started my new job. So I thought, what better way to spend my last day then going to Warhammer World.
Yeah, meeting some new people as well.
Meeting some new people. And I'm not exactly one to... I've talked to anyone, so it doesn't bother me. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was so gutted, not just because the guys seemed quite cool. Checked out their blog, and it does look cool. Path of the Artisan...
blogspot.co.uk.
Go check them out. Yeah, that's the best way of doing it.
Anyway, so go and have a look on that.
So they seem cool. Read a few of their articles. Awesome that they reached out and just invited us along. Like, appreciative of that.
And if we can go, like, anytime anyone invites us stuff like that, we can go.
Oh, man. I remember talking about it with you for days, just going, well, if I do this, and if I, you know, if they finish a day early, and if I, maybe I can get, you know, someone else to sign off the site which was just never going to happen. But I was just trying to find a way of coming, a way of coming, a way of coming. And eventually I gave in and realized this is not going to happen.
What was really cool, though, is that it even worked out that my dad was coming back from up north from work. So I mean, yeah. I didn't even have to get a train home because I got the train there for like 11 quid.
Really?
Yeah, it was 11 quid in the end.
Oh, man.
And then coming back, my dad drove past, so I didn't need to buy anything then. And he even bought me dinner. So man, it was like the best day ever.
You met up with them and what did you do? Did you spend some time chatting? Did you game? Did you just buy stuff?
Cool. So I got there about 10:30. The walk from the train station is much further in real life than than I remember.
Well, we just drove there.
Yeah, no, but
I've never got the train there.
It's in the town. So maybe it was I walked back from being drunk and it was like 5 minutes.
When did you go? What?
When I went up for Simon for Ryan's birthday.
Oh, right, I didn't go.
No, when I went for Ryan's birthday, we went to the old Smack, or whatever it's called, Ye Old Smack, Ye Oldie Smack pub, and went into the main town to go out to like the Outback stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I swear it was like a 5 minute walk on the way back, but
been
obviously
drinking.
Not. Nope. I don't drink, so that's bad for you.
That's you're lying.
So then I managed to get back, about 10:30.
Okay, not bad.
So I wasn't that late. And then they were finishing off breakfast.
Cool.
And then went in and had a game. So my first game was against Alan.
Okay, Alan. And who's Alan?
Alan.
Alan.
I think, well, from...
Alan. Steve.
Okay, cool. Shh, now. So Alan was the original... I'll get this right. He did tell me. The original writer of the blog.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we played...
So he's the guy who started it all up, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
And we started playing. I have got his list because I wrote it down, and I definitely made notes because you told me to. And
I was telling you, yes, I did shout at you because you don't make notes. And it makes this very difficult, Samuel. See, I'm using your full name.
Honestly, definitely made notes.
Oh, come on, man.
Ah, I got it. Right, cool. So it was the opponent was Alan. The points were 1,500 points. Okay. The scenario was Purge the Alien.
Oh, kill points.
Kill points, yeah. Yeah. It was a 12-inch deployment from the edge.
Longboard edge?
Longboard edge, yeah.
Right, Dawn of War.
Doing shortboard edges there is a nightmare.
Yeah, that's why all the tables are pushed together.
Yeah, exactly. So 12 inches longboard edges. It was my generic Grey Knight list that I play. So that is...
the only list you have at the moment.
Yeah, 1,500 point list for Grey Knights. So obviously the Terminators, two squads of Purifiers, so Crow, one with Crow, Razorback, and...
Dreadnought,
Vindicare Assassin, the standard list. Go back and listen to previous
Strike
episodes.
Squad? Well, no, because no one's heard it because we haven't ever got to 1,500.
Oh, I apologise then. Hang on. I will go through the actual list then.
Yeah, go through the full list because we've obviously gone up 500 points. And one of our games that we'll get to after Sam talks about his trip is me and Sam playing our 1-5 game, our 1,500 points, however you want to say it, game of my orcs and his Grey Knights in our escalation kind of, I don't know, challenge.
Cool. So it's Crow with a squad of 8 Purifiers, all with Falchions, pretty much just running towards the enemy. There's a
very
six,
scary.
There's a 6-man Purifier squad with 2 Flamers in. No, sorry. Took rid of the Flamers. 2 Psy Cannons in. There we go. Who sit with a Razorback with Assault Cannons on top.
Yes, yeah, they're kind of like the home objective crew. You can jump in and drive somewhere if they need to. Yeah,
I've got a 10-man strike squad, which have all got two. Sorry, one's got two. Hang on, 10-man strike squad with 2 psi cannons, and they've all got Nemesis Force Halberds because it gives 1+ to their strength and doesn't damage their initiative.
Okay,
and then a 5-man Terminator squad with all with Falchions, no weapons in there, special weapons. Just
I swear there was a psi cannon.
Nope. No, for
okay, maybe you mounted one on for future.
No, I definitely haven't done it.
Oh, no. Okay.
So that's the 5-man Terminator squad. Obviously, the Razorback from earlier, Nemesis Dread Knight, and a Vindicare Assassin.
Yes, yeah.
That's my standard 1,500 point list. And so Alan played. Okay, he played Eldar.
Oh,
yeah, yes, indeed. There was a Hemlock fighter.
The
Flyer.
Not the Crimson Hunter, the other one.
Yep.
That's a psychic pilot.
So scary.
Yeah.
2 5-man Guardian squads. A 5 Wraith Guard with D-Scythes. Nasty.
Oh, the Flamers.
Very nasty. Yeah. Very, very nasty.
Were they 5... in a Wave Serpent?
No.
Oh.
No, walking. A Fire Prism.
Yeah, they're nice.
A Wave Serpent.
Always good.
Was it 2 Wave Serpents? Two Wave Serpents. Yeah, definitely was paying attention. Two Wave Serpents, Solitaire, Death Jester.
Oh, hello. He had Harlequin Allies.
Yeah, Shadow Seer and Rangers.
Oh, what are they like? I haven't played them yet.
Basically, I was reading through the blog on the train up there anyway, and he points out that he, on their own, they kind of don't work.
Yeah.
But as a squad, but they're not a squad, as a running together next to each other, they really buff each other up and make it really work. Yeah. So it's really scary to play. The only thing that was weird was the fact they're still only strength 3.
Yeah.
So you're hitting on 4s.
Wounding on fives. But can't you give them upgrades that give them, like,
on
poisoned
hitting,
or...
On hitting, but not...
I swear there was wound upgrades, like, not that know, he, Harlequin not, Kisses okay. and Harlequin
Not that Alan,
this,
was, not that Alan okay. was using. But yeah, so it was a good game.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
It's a good game. A few little notes. The Rangers died first turn.
I didn't hear you even mention Rangers.
Sorry, that was Gardens. At the end. So there were Rangers in there. The Rangers died first turn, but then as did my Razorback. So, yeah. Second turn, the D-Sives from the Wraith Knights.
Wraith Guard,
there we go. Wraith Guard took out the Dread Knight.
Yeah, their point of us not only playing certain type of thing is really valid right here, isn't it? Wraith Lord, Knight, Guard, something like that.
They're all the same. So they took out the Dread Knight in instant death. They've got instant death rule in the D-Sives.
Yeah, of course they have, yeah.
So
6 to wound, yeah.
Gone. Even though he's a toughness 6, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In that amount of shots, you're still going to get a 6.
Oh, yeah.
And then turn 3, there was mass killing. Took out pretty much most squads. And then turn 4, I got tabled.
Oh, wow.
So the highlight was definitely the Wraith... I've got them.
Wraith Guard.
Man, I'm going to forget so much.
Killing the Dread Knight.
Yeah, it was...
That's your highlight.
Yeah. It was epic. Just me charging towards them and then just going, nope, denied. Nope. Yeah.
Did they kill him on Overwatch?
Yeah.
So it was on... Are you sure? Was it on the Overwatch? Like, you tried to charge him and then they killed you on the Overwatch?
I think they took out a lot of wounds and then on the Overwatch they finished me off. I'm pretty sure that's how it worked.
That is pretty epic.
It was nearly over a month ago now. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was very...
And my notes aren't that comprehensive. The end result was actually only 8-5.
Well, you were tabled, so it was 8-0.
Yeah, fine, 8-0. But it was a good game. It definitely taught me a lot about Eldar and definitely how scary they are. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty
that's
good.
Cool. It sounds nice because it wasn't... Although there was a Wraith, Wave Serpent and maybe 2 in there, it wasn't, 5. And Wraith Guard with D-Sives, like, why wouldn't you take them? They're a good unit.
Yeah.
It seems like, with the Harlequin allies, it seems like someone who's got the idea of what he wants out of his Eldar.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, I didn't meet him, which, I'm sorry, Alan, I would have loved to have come. But, just someone who's like, this is how I like to see my Eldar.
Yeah.
So this is how I'm going to play them. And yeah, they're powerful, but I'm not doing it because of the cheese. I'm just doing it because they're good. And why not? You know, and that's quite cool. Sounds like a good game.
So it's good. And then we had a 3K game after lunch.
3K? Okay.
3K. I think it was 3K. Yeah, 3K. My Grey Knights with Necrons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember you mentioning this earlier and I was like, what?
Versus Eldar and Dark Angels. Okay, so Alan had his Eldar, but he changed it up and took Wraith Lords. No. Yeah. Wraith Lords.
What? You've already said he had Wraith Lords in the first game.
Wraith Knights. Alan changed it up.
What size were they?
They were big.
Wraith Knight is the really tall one.
Yeah.
Wraith Lord is the middle one.
Okay.
And then Wraith Guard are like the smaller one.
Cool. So Alan definitely took Wraith Knights.
Wow.
A Wraith Knight.
I was going to say a 1-5.
They gave me the list. So I have Matt's here. They gave me the lists and it was very good. And
so
they gave
prepared.
Me the paper versions. I don't carry paper with me at all. So that was probably a really bad mistake, me asking for their paper version lists. Right, cool. So that's Mark, not Matt. There's Matt. All right, cool. So Matt took he took a company master with Displacer Field, Power Sword, and a jump pack. In the elites, he took five company veterans with Combi Flamer, Combi Plasma, and 2 Combi Melters and a Melter Gun.
Who are these?
These are Dark Angels.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought we were still on Eldar.
No.
I was like, what?
The troops choices was a tactical squad with 10 man with plasma cannon and plasma gun, and a 5-man tack squad with plasma gun. The fast attack was a Dark Talon. Dark Talon rocked. It was really good.
Try and remember. Oh, that's the flyer, isn't
it? That's the floating chapel.
Yes. Everyone says that the new Dark Angel Flyers are awful, but I quite like that one on paper.
Yeah.
It's very good. I think people don't... They take the other one just because of all the bolters that come with it.
Yeah.
But I think, I think that Dark Tannen's a bit better.
Yeah. And then he took two knights, a Knight Paladin and a Knight Errant. So the Barrage... No, the...
Oh, he brought a knight?
Two knights.
Oh.
Two knights.
At 1/5.
Yeah, two knights.
That's a bit naughty.
Two knights. One with the basically the Metal Cannon and one with the Rapid Fire Battle Cannon.
Okay, that's cool.
So that was quite cool. And also, sorry, the Company Vets had a drop pod in it.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's the only way to run that.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. And Craig...
Craig was the Necron player?
Craig was the Necron player. And he was on my team, so I definitely remember what he
Craig
brought.
Craig was the guy who invited us originally.
Craig invited me for us, sorry.
Thank you.
You just didn't turn up.
I couldn't go.
So he had lots of Necron-y looking things. There were definitely Scarabs in there. and there were definitely some Warriors.
Warriors, Immortals.
Immortals.
Did he have a flyer?
There were no flyers.
Okay.
That I remember. I didn't think I could get in his list.
Sure, I'm sure it was an Overlord, probably.
Probably an Overlord. They were basically... I died first as Grey Knights. Necrons carried the rest of my force.
Kept getting up.
And then I think we ended like turn 4.
Oh, okay. Well, because everyone ended.
Yeah, it was the end. It was at 6 o'clock, that was.
Oh, wow.
So long game, long Flipping game. It. But it was just so funny.
Suppose we really just good. Played a 3K and it took a while.
Yeah, so it was a good game. Really enjoyed the day. That was kind of really opened my eyes to the Necrons and kind of like how they work, which was quite
and
cool.
And the Eldar.
And the Eldar was quite cool. And I really want two knights now.
Oh, keep having this conversation.
The highlight of that game, the highlight of that game was that my Dread Knight shunted 30 inches forwards, got behind some of his vets and just flamed them.
Oh, okay, that was the highlight. Heavy incinerator.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Or seeing the knight stamp across Scarabs, that was quite cool.
Just stamp.
Always a favourite. But no, it was good. It was cool.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it was a good game, good day, really good blog reading through some of their stuff. The coverage of actually that Alan did is probably far better than mine.
Cover the day?
Yeah. So if you go to it, like I said, it's the Path of the Artesian.blogspot.co.uk.
Artisan.
Oh man, Path of the Artisan.blogspot.co.uk. So if you go to the to their blog and you can read about the game.
Yes, we'll post a link on the Facebook page as well as in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Make sure you do the show notes.
I'll definitely do the show notes.
I'll put it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. I'll even put a link to
the
day.
I think all three of them did coverage of the game, so you can definitely get every coverage.
That's awesome.
All the coverage.
That's awesome.
Cool. So we had two games.
Yeah, we did have two games. Let's just keep moving. We started off with our Orcs versus Grey Knights game.
Yes, so obviously it was the escalation. So I went up and added a squad of Terminators, messed around with the Purifiers a little bit, and added in those Strike Squads. That Strike Squad.
Yes, you've already kind of gone through your list. Yeah. For me, I had a Weird Boy who I upgraded to level 2.
Cool.
I've got a War Boss who I added in. He's in Mega Armor. Yep. He's my conversion that's kind of like... based off a Demon Prince body and some Killer Can arms and things. I think there's a photo of him on the page unless I deleted it.
No, there was. Definitely was.
I know there was. I think I might have taken it off to do some better professional photos, get Zach to do some. I brought him. I brought him along with 3 Meganobs in a truck. So they've come in. Then I've got 20 boys in a battle wagon, all as Ard boys. So that gives them the 4+ armor save.
Cool.
So just a bit more survivable. 3 squads of truck boys, 2 as shooter boys, and 1 as the standard slugger chopper, which are the bolt pistol close combat, basically.
Cool.
For all those that don't speak orc. I had my war buggy, which keeps dying all the time.
I
love that thing.
That is my favourite model of yours.
Yeah, it's cool.
It looks cool, and it always dies first turn, gives me first blood.
My Dacker Jet was still in. 12 looters. I think I had enough to go up to 12. I was at 10 in my 1,000 points. And then my Battle Wagon with 4 rockets. And that's my 1,500.
Cool. Do you want to go through our 2Ks?
Our 2Ks. Our 2 games.
Oh, no, I was going to say the 2K, the next jump.
We can do. Shall we do that after the game?
Right, we'll do the games first, go on.
Do the game. We'll do both games, then we'll go through the list.
Cool.
All right, we're so organised, you can tell.
Right, so games.
But yeah, so it's 1,500 points. We said we played Maelstrom. which was cool because we haven't played that for a while.
And I think it was the only Maelstrom game that I got where none of them were hold objectives.
Yeah, man, that was weird. Like, not even any of mine were until turn four.
Yeah, so what Maelstrom was it? Do you know what game?
No, I've just got Maelstrom. I think we played Spoils of War, which is the one where you can steal each other's number. So if you had objective three and I was on it, then I could take it from you at the end of my turn. And it was that one, and we just didn't get any numbers.
No.
You didn't get any at all,
Didn't get
you?
Any at all. And it was pretty much just like kill a whole unit in assault or do one, get off psychic phase off. So it was good. It was cool. And then I realized actually how many psychic points Grey Knights actually have.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was really interesting to watch that because I don't really play that much Grey Knights. So that was quite cool.
So in my... I'll just go for it now. In my Grey Knights, I have 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11 to start with.
Yeah, and that's before you roll the D6.
Before I roll the D6.
So max 17.
I think I've got 17 like twice.
I mean, I've got plus 2 because I've got a level 2 weird boy and potentially another one if he's close to lots of boys. That's one of his special rules.
But that's still not.
But there's still only 3, like, you know. But yeah, so the cards kind of really screwed me over a little bit. That's kind of maybe giving away the ending. We got Diagonal Deployment, which is Vanguard Strike, which I hate.
Love it.
I just can't... I don't know why... And it's probably all in my head, but I just hate that deployment.
Yeah.
Like, long board edge, fine. Short board edge, fine. Diagonals messes me up.
Yep.
Just don't know why. I just, yeah. So we played that. We've gone through our lists already. It was quite hard going, and I'm not really sure why, other than the cards. So I've been reflecting about this game. And I mean, long story short, I basically didn't really kill much of yours, and you killed a lot of me.
Turn one.
Like turn one and two, I got quite butchered quite early on, and I wasn't quite sure why, other than the fact that my army's built to go, you know, it's got trucks, battle wagon, most things move quite quickly.
Yeah.
So if we were pulling, you know, grab objective three, grab objective two, things like that, I think I would have done much better.
Yeah.
Going and grabbing the objectives, but because we didn't get any, I got things like kill three, a unit in assault. You know, something like that. Or one of mine was make a charge distance of at least 10 or higher, 10, 11, 12, which is an orc-specific one, which is weird because, I mean, you could be 2 inches away and roll 10 and get your challenge. So, I don't know, that was a bit weird, that card.
Yeah.
But you were getting all the ones that were like, pull off a psychic power.
Kill a unit.
And if you get three, you get D3 points. Kill a unit. And I wasn't getting any, I was getting like, kill the warlord, like straight away, you know, and things like that. So I think the cards kind of messed me up a bit. I just didn't seem to kill anything. I don't know why. Like, I really...
Grey Knights are mighty.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, our next game will go through, and I did a much better with my orcs. Same tactics. I drove them straight at you like I would normally, and which you should do with orcs if they're all in trucks and stuff. Get out, mass charging. I think maybe it was because I didn't quite get the mass charge. I split up my force a bit.
Yeah.
So I kind of sent a couple of trucks off to the right, didn't I?
To deal with the
Vindicare and one strike squad.
Yeah.
And then the rest kind of went up the middle where your Dreadknight was, your Purifiers were. But before I could get to you, you were doing damage to me.
Yeah. I think what was the end result, the points wise, do you know? We're rubbish at counting.
Yeah, when we play each other, we don't bother. You won something like 14-3 or something. Like, I was so low. You know, it was crazy. So we kind of. We finished the game, and it wasn't like I was completely tabled or anything like that. I had a few bits left. Like, not a lot, but I still had a few bits left. And I eventually did damage to you.
Yeah.
But by that point, you'd earned so many cards that it was just no way.
Yeah. The only way to do it was to table me.
Yeah, and it was never going to happen. So, like, I killed your Dreadknight, and I took out your Purifiers through tons and tons of shooting.
Yeah.
Eventually took out Crow.
Killed your HQ. Crow is so much of a boss.
Crow in a challenge is unbelievable,
because the wording in the codex means he gets to use all of the
gets both the stances
for
the Brotherhood champion. So one is that he gains smash, which we'll get to that in a second, and the other one is he gets reroll fail saves. So he challenges my war boss because I think he has to.
Yeah, he has to challenge.
You know, that's part of his being a champion thing. And I was like, yeah, sure, you know, I'm strength 10 with a power claw. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
So, and war bosses are quite tough and quite hard to kill. But then when we looked at the smash rule, it actually states that all your attacks are AP2 and you can trade them in to double your strength and get one attack.
Yeah.
Which I always thought it was AP2 but one attack at double strength.
Yeah.
And it never clocked that it was actually both.
Yeah.
And you can choose one or the other, or, you know, it's an and if you choose.
Which kind of sorts out the issue, the fact that his sword is AP dash. Because his sword is no extra strength, no extra bonus. It's just
Not even a power AP sword, dash. Is it?
No.
But then you get him in a challenge and suddenly it's an AP 2 user strength power sword.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Which is awesome. And with his stances, like you said, he gets the smash rule and he gets to reroll his failed to save wound.
Which kept him alive. I mean, we killed him, took him off the board, and then we were halfway through, not the next turn, but like the rest of the assaults. And I was like, oh, Crow can reroll his saves. And then you rerolled and then he got back up. And then next turn forced my war boss out of existence.
Yeah, I always forget. I always forget about force.
Yeah, I always do. I did it today, actually.
Yeah, well done. Congratulations.
But yeah, it was just, I don't know, I couldn't catch up. The card screwed me over a little bit. And maybe you got really good on your damaging my vehicles. So you kept popping vehicles and then my guys were out and then you were charging in rather than me charging in.
Maybe I'm just a really good player. So,
it just didn't work out that day. And it was a little bit like, oh man, all my Tyranid games have been going like this, you know, been playing okay. Tactics are working, but either dice were screwing me over a bit. Or just people were, I don't know, just didn't seem to be working. And I was like, oh, is it me? Am I playing badly?
So we played again.
Played the next day.
And I ran Blood Angels, which was, I think, five Terminator squads.
Four, I think. Wasn't it four?
No, it was five, because it was two Assault Terminators and three Standard Terminator squads.
Yeah, well, with a Terminator Librarian.
With Terminator Librarian.
HQ.
With HQ. A bike squad.
Well, three.
No, it was only two bikes. It was only one bike squad, one big bike squad.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
No, you had them split.
No, I had two bike squads and an attack bike squad.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, and basically you went from there.
Yes, that was your list at 1-5, which was obviously an unbound list, and it was quite a cool idea, like, you know, fast with the bikes, you know, Terminator is quite difficult to kill.
Oh, man, it's so rubbish.
And I brought my 1-5 and thinking, okay, guys, we need to do a little bit better. And we had the scouring.
Yes.
So six objectives, number them.
Using the new objective markers Chip gave me.
Yes, which again, we'll talk about those again a little bit later on. And we got long table edges. So I was like, yes, not a diagonal, because all my games have been diagonal so far for the last kind of month and a half. So I was like, yeah, this is good. Put everything down, similar to how I deployed with the Grey Knights. I'm just looking at my notes.
I didn't make a single two-up save.
I've got that written down, actually. Termy saves were awful. You were rolling, you know, if you took 10 wounds, you were losing 4.
It was awful. I just, so many Terminators died. And I always look at Terminators and go, man, they're so hard to kill. But
yeah,
they're not.
I hate bringing them, because I do exactly that. Every game I bring Terminator squad, they die.
And it's like, haha, I have Terminators. Try and come at me, bro.
I mean, I remember seeing on one of the Facebook pages, I think it was 40K for grown-ups, and they put, tell us some of your bad dice stories. And my worst one was when Imperial Fist Ben shot at me with 10 guardsmen, single shot, did like 9 wounds, maybe even 10, which, you know, is pretty hard anyway, with 4s to hit, 5s to wound.
Yeah.
And then I rolled 6 or 7 ones out of them, out of 10 dice.
Because we're cool.
And lost my whole Terminator squad. And that was before, that was after deployment.
Awful.
Like, it was so awful. So, yeah, I did really feel sorry for you, but it wasn't like they were just, you were like, oh, 10 ones, oh, they're gone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my.
And then first
what have
turn
I got written down?
First
I've got,
turn, my assault bike went as well.
Yeah, they blew up a truck, I think, before they went.
No, they blew up your wagon. Your buggy.
Buggy.
Blew up the buggy, and then next turn, when he shot me, died.
Yes, yeah. My notes are, it was very fast, and my list was very punchy, which is what it's built for.
Yeah.
Everything paid off for me and nothing paid off for Sam.
Nope.
So turn two, I literally got out of the battle wagon, charged with my 20 boys, got out of the two trucks that were still alive, charged into a couple of Terminator squads, at least either tying them up or with one of them. My other truck boy squad that were already blown out of the truck.
Yeah.
Are charged in as well. So it was basically 24 boys.
Awful.
Versus 5 Terminators, and they just died through weight of dice. My flyer came on and killed some Terminators. My looters were doing well. Just everything seemed to be going my way.
Everything was coming up, Matt.
Yeah, it really was. And then the highlight had to be the mutual destruction between my Meganobs and your Terminators.
Yeah, just blew each other
up. So my Meganobs charged into a full squad of Terminators with my Warboss. The Warboss challenged the Sergeant. They said yes. The Sergeant went, did no wounds. then my Mega Knobs and the Power Fist Terminators all went and killed each other completely.
Just like for like.
One for one.
And just blew up.
Yeah. And then my War Boss cleaned up the rest of the squad and then walked off on his own. Yeah. It was so good just to watch that mutual destruction.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got it noted here, and I can't believe that. We ended at turn three.
Yeah.
Just because you had, like, what, two Terminators left?
I had two Terminators left.
And that was it.
And there was no way I was going to be able to steal any of the objectives.
Yeah. And I had, you know, the 4-point, the 3-point, the Warlord. Yeah,
there was no way.
You know, you had First Blood and you were on a 2-point objective.
And that's what lost me the hoodie.
Yeah, so I'm now the War Master, which is pretty cool. It's the first time I've actually held it in our group. Like, so that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I remember we started it. We had the first ever game, and then I've never actually played for it.
Nope.
So I've played, I've had games, but I've never played the person who's been the War Master, because either someone else has challenged him or they haven't been there, whatever. You know, I've not been particularly searching for it, I'll admit. I've just been playing and chilling out, which is what it's for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm quite chuffed to have it. It's now at home, nice and clean. And, you know, I won't wear it now. I wore it for like 2 days after I won it, and now it's like pristine, just staying in my wardrobe, like, yay, I own it. At least until I lose it. Hide the precious from the world.
Yeah,
at least until I lose it. But yeah, so that was really cool. Do you know what? I've had some tough games recently. Like, I've been sharing about my Tyranids a lot. The first game against you with my orcs and everything going badly.
Yep.
Was like, oh, this is tough. And then that game, everything seemed to work out. So it was almost quite nice.
Yeah.
Like, although it didn't feel like I just walked through you. I was losing things. And you seemed to be having fun too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had as much fun.
I cried.
you didn't in front of me.
Yeah, that's just some man. Don't cry in front of girls. So,
but yeah, so that was really fun, and that was a really cool game.
Cool, right? 2K.
Let's talk about a 2K.
So this is the first time we've shared them.
Yeah,
live on there.
Yeah. So I've already shared.
No preview.
I've already shared some bits.
Swear words might happen.
No, they won't. Stop interrupting. Oh, manners.
I'm just 9 points short.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm exactly on 2,000 because I know how to write a list.
Hang on.
9 points short. That's silly. Did you say 9? Yeah, that's easy. That's like a metal bomb. 5.
I don't have metal bombs.
Really? Can you not get metal bombs? No way. I don't believe you.
Hang on. If I go 5 more points for a metal bomb, then I'm over.
What? You said you were 9.
I have metal bombs. I'm now on 1,996.
So 4 points.
Yeah.
It's
fine. I'll rubbish 4 points down. There'll be
things for 3 points, I'm sure.
Well, I have a reason if
right,
I lose.
Man, I'm nervous about your one.
You go.
All right.
And then I'll go.
My one's kind of pretty predictable, so...
Okay.
Well, I say predictable. It's basically all about punching face.
About the base?
About those base. No, about punching face. Getting into combat. So I have added HQ, still obviously the level 2 weird boy and the war boss. I've added a pain boy, because orcs can take 3 HQs in their detachment.
Have you bought the one from... Oh, what was the blog we looked at?
No, I'd already got. No. It's quite cool.
Sell it.
Spellcrow miniatures. Yeah, possibly. The Spellcrow miniatures guy does look pretty awesome.
Aren't they going to be at Salute?
Possibly. It might have to happen, and then I'll have a dude to sell. But we'll see. But I've got the Painboy model from Games Workshop that they released, the new one. It's a bit of a weird pose and stuff, so if they are there, I might purchase. My self-control is bad.
I might have to put some pressure on.
Let's face it, it won't take much.
No. Do it.
but yeah, so I've added a pain boy. Then I've got my 3 Mega Knobs in a truck in my elites, which were already in my 1.5.
Cool.
And I've added 10 Tank Busters in a truck.
Cool.
Tank Busters are all Orc boys with rocket launchers.
Cool.
And they have Tank Hunters, so they reroll to Armor Pen.
That's good.
And I've got 2 Bomb Squigs in that unit.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. So they basically run out and blow up against vehicles.
Didn't you buy those at Salute last year?
Yeah.
Right, cool.
Yeah, so
only a year later.
Yeah. And it's taken us that long to get to this point level. So that was my elites. Troops. I dropped a boy in the battle wagon so my pain boy can go in there.
Yep.
So I can have 20 boys with Feel No Pain as well as a 4-up armor save. So they're quite survivable.
Yeah.
Because they're the real punch force of the army. Then I've kept the 3 trucks, 2 shooter boy squads to kind of grab objectives and shoot stuff, and then 1 punching squad, which will go off with the war boss.
Cool.
So 3 truck squads. I've got another war buggy. So I've followed your advice after I won
good,
five.
Good, they're so fun to use.
They are, and I've got one already converted out of the land speeder, so it looks kind of cool.
Good,
doesn't
good.
Look as good as my first one, maybe, but yeah, it's pretty, cool. good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So looking forward to having two of those on the board. My Dacker Jet again, and then 20 Storm Boys.
Cool.
These guys I'm really excited about. This is...
The jetpack ones.
They're jetpack, yeah, well, jump pack.
But they can explode.
Yeah, so you can move normal 12, like normal jump pack, but you can choose to use a special move, which I can't remember what it's called, but you roll a D6 and add that to the 12 inches.
Cool.
So you potentially move 18 inches. You can still assault and everything after it. But when you do it, each boy's got to take a dangerous terrain check.
Right.
Yeah, so on a 1, then he got a 6-up save, and then potentially blows up as he uses his missiles and rockets, whatever he's got stuck to his back.
That's cool. I really like that.
So yeah, it's quite a fun, fluffy rule. And yeah, 20 boys will just give me that kind of, I think, fear factor.
Mm.
Like, you've got all these trucks and battle wagons coming up, and then this squad of 20 boys that aren't in trucks, but are moving, you know, potentially 18 inches.
Sounds good.
So yeah, it's quite scary. And then my heavy support, my looters going from 12 to 15.
Cool.
Which is max level, just tons of DACA. And then the battle wagon has 4 rocket launchers and a reinforced ram, just in case it gets stuck on any terrain.
Cool. Sounds
That's good. My 2K.
Sounds awesome. So I've gone for the standard, what I've already had. What I already had, obviously.
Yeah, the 1-5, yeah.
And I've added 3 dreadnoughts. So that takes me up to my 2K.
You fully haven't?
Yep.
How have you added 3 dreadnoughts?
Just some stuff out.
You know, you can't take stuff out. Stop lying to
okay,
me.
Okay, cool. No, I haven't really. So I was actually reading my codex.
That was like genuinely, like, my heart started hurting there. I was like, oh, 1, I now hate you, and 2, that makes me sad.
No, okay. So I was actually reading my codex and found out that my Grey Knight's strike force doesn't actually need to have 1 HQ, 2 troops.
Yes.
I can get away with having 1 HQ,
don't.
1 troops.
Yeah, okay.
So what I've done is, this is my list. I've got Kessel and Crow with a squad of 9 purifiers in a rhino.
Okay, so that's one more and a rhino,
yep.
Yeah, I remember talking about that after our game.
6 purifiers.
Okay, yep.
With the 3 of Nemesis Force swords and 2 psi cannons.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
No, sorry, falchions. Sorry, I'm reading it wrong. 3 of falchions and then the psi cannons, like they've always been.
Yeah, but they were they strike last game? Were they? Oh, were they purifiers in our 1-5?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I've upgraded my Terminators into Paladins. Oh. I've now got 6 Paladins.
Okay.
I've added an Apothecary.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
So he's got they've got the survivability of Feel No Pain.
Yeah.
Just because of my previous game's abilities to not roll.
Yeah.
Saved. So that now leaves a 10-man strike squad.
Yeah.
Which I had before.
Which is your troop.
With my 2 Psy Cannons again.
Yeah.
I've added a Storm Raven gunship.
Okay.
To give me some flyer presence. Obviously, cool. That's the only thing that really sort of hampered me in a lot of the other games.
Yeah, you haven't
was
got any
I didn't
anti-flyer.
Have anything to fly, have flyers with.
Yeah.
So that is built with Twin Link Assault Cannon, Twin Link Multi Melter, Hurricane Bolters, and 4 Storm Strike Missiles.
Yeah.
Ceramite Plate and Ceramite Plating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That comes with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, I've got my Nemesis Dreadknight and the Vindicare Assassin.
Okay.
So it kind of feels like a bit more of a well-rounded force. I haven't decided on whether or not to put any of this squad. I could put the 2 to 10-man squad inside the Storm Raven.
Could you get the 6 Termes?
It's 12.
The Paladins?
It is 12.
I think they're 12. I think you used to be able to put like 10-man and a chaplain or something in them. So.
The
transport capacity.
Transport capacity is... 12 models, so I could put the 6 Terminators.
6 Termes could be cool, because Crow's already on the ground in a rhino. You've got 6 purifiers by your Razorback.
Yeah.
Just trying to think, what? So you've added a Terminator who's an Apothecary.
Yep.
A Storm
I've
Raven.
Upgraded to Paladins.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's going to be a bit of a point of difference.
Because they now have 2 wounds.
Yeah, 2 wounds, yeah. Yeah.
Then I have 2 plus saves.
Yeah, well, they have that.
2 wounds. So they're a little bit better. Weapon skill 5.
Yeah, they're
a little bit better.
Nasty, yeah.
A little bit better, and with a term, with yeah. a
those in a Storm Raven, because remember you're also rolling for reserves turn 1.
Yes,
so that Storm Raven comes in turn 1.
Yep.
Able to shoot some stuff, and then turn 2 hovers, drops the Terminators. I don't know. Some people bring Storm Ravens empty because then they can just stay zooming.
Yep.
So they don't.
I have thought about it, bringing them empty.
So I mean, but the thing is, Terminators deep strike, so you can just choose.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Really, just keep them both off the board. I mean, I suppose, do you have to declare that?
You do have to declare that, okay. Because they're squads.
Yeah, yeah.
It's but probably, then you can kind of gauge it on the game.
It'd be kind of nasty to do that, wouldn't it, I guess? Like, oh, yeah, they're in the Stormraven. Oh, now they're not, because actually I need to do this. Like, it's a bit...
No. So I'd never change it mid-game. But I can kind of look at the beginning and go, you know what, actually I want to put the Terminators in with the Stormraven. And obviously with the points, I don't believe... I don't want to say this, but I actually am looking at it. I don't believe you pay to upgrade to las cannons. You don't pay to do, obviously, upgrade las cannons or plasma cannons. So I have got all of them.
Yeah.
Because actually...
You're going to use one of your...
I've got everything.
Yeah, you've got... Have you got everything?
Everything. Bar the Rhino. Okay. I've got everything.
Rhino, you're going to get the Forge World doors?
Of course.
Like the...
But I'm not going to get the Inquisition doors. Because they're Inquisition doors.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're not. They're pure Granite doors.
Yeah.
They don't do Granite doors. They are. But they do alternative ones for the Land Raider. So I'm going to get those. And they're just not used.
For the Stormraven?
No, for the Land Raider. And they use...
You haven't got a Land Raider.
No.
You said a Rhino.
Listen, they do the Land Raider, and I'm not going to use the front hatch. I'm going to use the two side doors because they're different to the ones for the Purifiers.
Okay, but you could use that for your Stormraven.
The hatch.
And the front hatch, because it has the front hatch.
Oh, yeah, of course it does, doesn't it? No.
I swear it does.
No, not like that. Not. It doesn't open up like that. It's just
the bottom ramp?
Yeah, okay. So, no, I probably couldn't. I'm going to look at it. Something nice.
Because I think the Land Raider kit's a bit more expensive.
And a rhino isn't particularly hard to get hold of.
No, easy.
And I even thought about taking out my Blood Angels. Because that's another thing we were talking about.
We will get there.
We'll get there eventually. But yeah, so that's my 2K. It feels a lot more like a rounded force.
Yeah, it does.
Everything's kind of in... I can be in vehicles together. Or be deep striking in like the Paladins. Yeah. Theoretically, I could run Crow with the Purifiers in the Rhino... The six Purifiers in the Razorback, the Paladin squad in Deep Striking In, 10 Strike squads in the Stormraven, and the Nemesis Dreadnought shunting forwards.
Yeah, but then you're only deploying
What I'm saying is it has the ability to be that fast if it needs to be.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
For instance,
you're always being a little bit slow, I guess, other than obviously being able to shunt. Like in our 1-5, it was very much me coming at you, whereas actually to change that up. Like, if you play someone like Tau, actually your walking army at 1-5 would struggle.
Yep.
Because you need the armor to protect you.
That was evident in my game against Alan. I was very slow.
Yeah.
And all right, he was walking towards me, but I didn't move.
Yeah.
The entire game, and I died. So it was evident. And with the ability to not have to have the two troops anymore, I'm still battle-forged.
Yes, that's true, yeah. Yeah, that's worked out really well. Yeah, and like you say, you've got everything because you can rob it from your Blood Angels, which is something you're thinking of doing anyway.
Yeah. But I really like yours. I like the yours. It still feels like it doesn't feel like the precision knife anymore. Everything's taken to do a job. It's more of a, well, I've taken these, they could do well, they could blood themselves up. I've taken the back of the buggies. I know you were quite against buggies.
Yeah, well, they just don't really do anything all game.
Running in a squad of two
cool...
would be fun.
Well, yeah, it would be fun. And you know what? What hadn't clicked in this project is that at the end of it, we're going to have a 2K army that we're not necessarily always going to play 2K.
No.
So actually having two war buggies, okay, fine. In my 2K list, they are just with twin link pick shooters.
Yeah.
So they don't really do too much. They're like heavy bolters with a slightly worse AP.
Yeah.
But actually I can upgrade them to be scorchers, so I have heavy flamers. They can outflank.
Yeah.
Or I can upgrade them to have, I think I can give them rockets. So I can actually make them tank hunting. So my plan is to actually convert them a little bit more and add each type of weapon so that when I'm playing after we finish this project, which is at 2K, if, you know, Simon or Chris or whoever want to say, hey, do you want a game? Let's play 1500. I can bring 1500 points of orcs and I've got viability. I can change them up. And it hadn't quite clicked. So I was just thinking of them in the way I played them, whereas actually I can do different things.
Yeah.
I can hold them off and outflank them. I can give them different weapons. Not in my points value against you, but in other games in the future.
Also, a lot of my Grey Knight squads have got teleport homers as well.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Because that was one big thing I don't like is deep striking, the randomness of they could scatter 12 inches.
Yeah.
So I've got the teleport homers.
That's cool.
To bring them down on top of Crow.
Well, you can also, I think you can deep strike flies, can't you?
No,
they come with a deep strike rule.
Hang on.
I think you can.
I think you just,
maybe not. I can't remember the rules for 7th, but, if they've got Deep Strike, then I'm assuming you can. I mean, this codex was brought out after 7th edition, so...
Hang on.
There they are. Special rules. Do they have Deep Strike?
No.
No? Oh, maybe you can't. I just thought you could Deep Strike the Stormraven and...
No.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So I'm
that's the 2K list. I'm pretty pumped for it. And there's not really a lot for me to do, which is even better.
I mean, when I look for it, you know, actually, like you say, I've got the Pain Boy to paint or potentially get that new model because he is really cool and then build him up and paint him. The 10 tank busters are built. I shared them this month and I got the truck for them as well.
Cool.
So that's all ready to go and get painted. My Orc Boy squads are all ready and all their trucks are ready. My second war buggy is half painted. I forgot to mention that actually. I have got a bit of paint on that second Orc war buggy. Cool. Let me know. That's hard to say for some reason. And I've got 10 of the 20 Storm Boys ready and built to be sprayed. So I need, you know, 10 more of those and then I'm done.
So timestamp.
Yeah. Blimey.
What month are you in? April?
Mate, I can't commit to anything this side of summer.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
September.
Yeah, I reckon I could be done for September. I'm going to have lots of sleepless nights, so you never know.
So September?
Yeah.
Game that sounds good. Because I want to get it done. Because what I want to do after is case it and just go, right, that's my 2K forwards.
Yes, that's your 2K grey knights. They're done. They're painted.
Tape measure in. Just pick up one case, walk out, done.
Yeah, I want a similar thing. So probably two cases because orcs take up a lot of room.
Yeah. But I'd buy like the new Citadel cases and just...
Yeah. I've already started KR foaming mine, so...
I haven't started KR foaming these, so I can get away of just putting them in a new case.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's cool. So that's the 2K. So... Other than that, what else have you got from miscellaneous?
Miscellaneous. So the end of this segment seems like it's gone long.
Hour and 14 minutes.
Wow. Well, there's quite a lot of starts and bloopers in that.
An hour and 11 minutes, I think.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll shoot through miss because we want to get on with the show.
Yes.
But yeah, so for me, it's really been my Space Wolf change. Cool. So we've been hinting towards this. Me and Sam have both been doing a lot of reflecting about things. And for me, I decided, you know what? I've got 7,000 points of Space Wolves. I don't need 7,000 points of Space Wolves. And actually, a lot of the units I've got, I don't particularly want to play, let alone... Yeah. Like they're there for just, I don't know, collector's reason. I got a bit silly and got loads of stuff. And I know this is going to probably be quite anti to a lot of people's views. Like, but I don't need all of these models.
Nope.
And I know it's a collection thing, and I know it's, you know, it's about that, and it's not just about the game and gaming, but at the same time, I don't have the time to play a 7,000 point game.
Nope.
I just won't. And in the future, I'm going to have less and less time to play with the little one on the way.
Can we talk to you?
I think I have kind of hinted. My wife is due in 4 weeks' time.
Next time we record.
Well, it was going to be the day before we recorded, but we're going to record a little early and then release on schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So to make it work. But yeah, so that's kind of freaking me out a little bit. But also, yeah, my life's going to get a lot more complicated and a lot more fun, hopefully. so yeah, I was just kind of reflecting on life and thinking, I don't need all of this. And also, at the same time, I find it quite a wrench to get rid of stuff.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Because you've poured a bit of your heart and soul into them. They're still your models. You've spent money on them. You're never going to get the same amount back. Yada, yada, yada. So I've recommissioned about 2,000 points worth in 40k point values into a 30k Space Wolf army.
Cool.
So I'm taking the plunge. I've been wanting to get into 30k for a while, and this way seems like the cheapest way. Lots of podcasts have been doing talks on how to do 30k cheaply, how to get into it as a starter. And this seems to be the way, you know, cutting down my 40k Space Wolf force, and then that's, you know, giving me a couple of characters, like 40, 50 Marines, and things like that, actually means that I can now dip my toe in 30k without the massive price tag of Forge World. And then if I love it, and I love that game system, and it's got a real flavor to it, which I'm by the sounds of it, it does, then I'll stay, and I can add Forge World to that existing force. So it kind of makes logical sense in my brain. And yeah, I'm really happy I've done it. And it took an afternoon. I just got all my models out and went, right, I want to keep that unit. I don't really like this unit. I'd like to change that up, change this up. And I've ended up with 5,000 points for my 40K. And then I think roughly it works out at like 1.5 in 30K points. I haven't got the Crusade army list yet.
No.
So I can't actually point it up. But just from what I've looked at and the templates on Quartermaster and Battlescribe, it's coming out about 1500 already before I've even added anything. So that's quite cool. What have you been doing for Misk? Because that's been it for me.
So mine is very similar. I've gone through my Blood Angels and kind of looked at stuff and gone, what am I doing?
Yeah, what made you do that?
The fact that I got to like 12k.
Yeah, was it the fact that you got a load of stuff from Ryan?
Yeah, it was the 12k. It was, I got everything out and it filled up a rug on the floor of stuff, and with my guard as well. And I was like, you know what? Like, my Devastated Squad, perfect example. I haven't run a Devastated Squad in 3 years.
Yeah, probably.
What's the point of me having them? They're not really well painted. They're all my first units. I haven't played them in the last 3 years. What's going to make me start playing them now?
Yeah, I mean,
this is because you like keeping hold of stuff.
Yes, it is. It is. And that's why it was, you know, that's why I've kind of made it okay in my brain to go into 30k. So I'm actually not really getting rid of anything.
Yeah.
Because I just can't face it.
No.
I mean, I understand why people would fight against it. One, because I kind of do, but also about, well, you never know, future editions, it's your model, you've painted it, you've done this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a collector, you know, why not do a whole chapter?
Yeah. It gets to the point, though, where, like I've obviously moving on in life and getting my own place and stuff. And
getting engaged.
Yeah, got engaged yesterday, which is cool, obviously.
Woo-hoo!
And it's sort of looking at stuff and kind of thinking, do I need to hold on to 7,000 points of Blood Angels, sorry, 12,000 points of Blood Angels, and I'm never going to play that size game. Like, all right, I'm not going to go as drastic as you and cut out down to 3,000 points.
I'm five.
5,000 points for 40k?
Yeah.
Right, so 5,000 points, 40k. So I've gone down to 7,000, although I've just been looking for it now and cutting out a little bit more.
Probably, yeah, maybe end up at 6,000.
Yeah, 6,000 would work for me. There's stuff like I like running scout squads. I'm basically keeping the units I like. So I like running scout squads. I like running tactical squads. Yeah. They're good to have. Two land speeders, two attack bikes, a couple of bike squads. Like stuff that I enjoy.
Do you have two land speeders?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I think I've only ever seen one.
One's was an inheritance from Ryan.
So, cool. So I will see.
Yeah, I need to, it's got the rocket launch on it, so I need to rip that off.
Oh, the Tempest.
And stick on some stuff.
Yeah.
So that's going to be work. And that's the thing. I used to have 8,000 points, completely fine, completely finished, and changed over. And I don't anymore. I've kind of dropped all that and I need to rip off arms. And that'll be, I'm going to get my guard finished. I want to get that to a 2,000 point force that I can just pick up and go.
Yeah.
I want to get my Grey Knights finished. That'll be a 2,000 points force I can pick up and go. And I want to get my Inquisition force finished. That's a 750 points I can pick up and add to something and we'll go and just play smaller games. And then at that point, it becomes, right, I'm not playing Blood Angels anymore. I'm going to go through and sort it all out. And then that will be my long-term project where I can't necessarily afford to buy stuff all the time.
Yes.
I can sit there and convert, repaint, sort out.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, it was like we were talking about earlier, actually, we kind of like the idea of having lots of forces. So I think I'm slowly, I've got three armies. I've got my Nids at 3,000 points. I've got my Orcs that are going to be 2,000. Now I've got my 5,000 Space Wolves. Actually, I kind of want to keep branching out and maybe get that next army. I'm thinking, like you, a Chaos army. You know, maybe actually Chaos is something that I haven't ventured in. I quite like the fluff and the background because I like the stuff in the Heresy. You know, people like Khan and Typhus, you know, cool characters, Lucius the Eternal. I'm drawn to that. So I quite like the idea and I've never ventured into it. And the reason is because I've always had projects on the go. And I think actually by capping them and working to more of a list and a force rather than I'm just collecting this army, you know, this is the end point, this is the deadline, will allow me to do new things. And that excites me.
And it's cool because I'll have 7,000 points or 6,000 points worth of Blood Angels and I'll be able to do the Unbound kind of stuff and take three Bar Preds.
And do funny stuff.
And I've got, in the list, I've got four Bar Preds and I really like Bar Preds. And I'll be able to do the fun stuff with it, but not be at 12,000 points where I think I've taken out like my drop pods, never used them. I've used them like twice probably. I've not cut it back drastically.
Yeah, there's still a lot in 7,000.
The stuff that I haven't used in a while, like my Land Raiders, are gone.
Yeah.
Because I don't use them. Very rarely do I use them.
Yeah.
Storm Ravens, I've only got two.
I currently had four.
So one's being sold on, one's being repurposed of Grey Knights.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it means I don't have to buy the money. I don't have to spend money on that.
Yeah.
So it's just getting to that point.
Yeah, it's a logical thought that we think is going to progress our hobby rather than turn away from it.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people will hear this and be like, oh, you're getting rid of stuff. You're, you know, not going out of the hobby, but you're cutting down. Why are you doing that? That's weird.
Yeah.
But actually, it's so that we can do more.
Yeah, you know, this will allow me to go, like, it's the justification stuff. So it's like the, like, it's buying stuff when I've got stuff to do.
Yeah.
So the reason my Inquisition Force has sat there for so long, a year, in fact, because that's when I last got the force for it, is because I started on Imperial Guard.
Yeah.
And the reason my Imperial Guard, the reason that my Blood Angels haven't been touched, my Blood Angels haven't been touched is because I started Imperial Guard.
Yeah.
And the reason my Grey Knights were being done so slowly is because I had so much other stuff. And I want to get hobby progress done, and I want to be able to have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so do I.
So it basically, for me, means that I need to pull my finger out and get on
with it. Yeah, and get it organised. And I like the idea of being organised, you know. I know a lot of people probably have a Storm Raven painted in Blood Angels, let's say, and, oh, I want one for my Grey Knights, so I'll just bring it and it'll be painted Blood Angels. Like, my OCD just goes mental. I need kind of, like you are doing, you know, a Storm Raven that's Blood Angels, a Storm Raven that's Grey Knights, and that kind of idea. And I like the idea of having things finished so that I can start something new.
And it will become a case of all of my Grey Knights will go into one case, all of my Inquisition will go in a smaller case, all of my guard will go into a case. So it just becomes, I'll just write IG
organized
on it. And it becomes all right. And it means I can literally just go, right, okay, I've got Matt's asked if I can have a 1500 point game, take my Grey Knights. And I'll just cut some stuff out because I've got my 1500 point lists.
Yeah.
Or Matt's asked to have like a small 750 demo game at the bunker.
Yeah. So to just show take some my kids. Position. Yeah.
It's got flyers in it. It's got like carapace armor. So it's obviously a little bit different. So it's something different to do. And to for me, it means that, don't get me wrong, we'll always love to play Blood Angels.
Oh yeah.
Love
the codex. And let's face it, you're going from 12,000 to 7,000 and I'm going from 7,000 to 5,000.
Feels like I'm being neutered. Like, and part of me goes, well, I've got three assault squads. Let's just get rid of them. But actually, like, assault squads are quite cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a line and it's working that out. And for me, I think I found that by repurposing some for 30K, you know, entering into that, I'm really excited for that. And my Space Wolf's getting a bit lower. Like, you know, maybe once in a blue moon, I will be able to play 5,000 points.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit more achievable. Every time you take a little chunk of points out, it's a little bit more achievable. I've already written a list because you guys know that I've been doing a few bits on Scions.
Yeah.
And they were allied into my 7,000 to make it up to 8,000.
Yeah.
And now I've done 1,000 points formation. It's based off Torox Primes. It's called the Ground Assault, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at doing that. So that's really cool. And I'm excited for that new project because I've cut down.
Do you want to buy mine?
Maybe.
I've been doing this. Yeah. I've got the 10. I'm not going to use
it. I think I probably will. We'll chat.
Okay, we'll chat. They might need to be stripped if you want
to pay. We need to move on, man. We've talked about enough.
All right, cool. My other misc is I read Finnish Mechanicum, which is cool. Got that done. Definitely made me want to collect a Titan. Titan Legion. Definitely. I think if I did do 30K, I'd have to do Mechanicum because you can go, these are good or these are bad.
Well, bring knights in, you got Thanatars, which are really tall. Yeah, I know these words that you don't recognise, Sam.
I know what they are.
Thalax.
They're the big ones.
Tech Thralls. No, Thalax aren't.
Oh, no, they're
Thanatars are.
Right, cool. So anyway,
Castellax.
I'd like to do a 30K.
Magos Prime.
I'd like to be able to do a 30K army. Eventually, when I finish every other project and Mechanicum, because you always find it like Guard, if you're playing Guard versus Blood Angels, you go, right, your Guard, Traitor Guard.
Yeah.
They're exactly like Guard. And when I look at doing Skitarii and that kind of thing, that'd be quite cool to do.
The new ones.
No, why wouldn't I? That'd
yeah, I don't know. Doing the 30K and then just using that list in 40K seems to work quite well. I've seen lots of people doing that.
Yeah, so that's quite cool. So that's the Mechanicum book, definitely worth a read. I then read Tales of Heresy, which is really cool. Short stories.
Four short stories.
More than four.
I think it's four.
Like six.
Is it six?
So you
I've read it a long time ago.
However many stories there were. Really cool, really short stories. I was reading like one a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I'm now obviously up in London. It's about an hour and a half there, an hour and a half back. Like, managed to get like 100 pages read in a day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm finishing.
I know Tim's similar. When he travels on the train, he kind of goes through phases of just smashing out books.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I'd love to have that.
Well, I've started reading from now the Fallen Angels.
Yes.
We obviously talked about it a little bit last time, what happened.
Yeah, bits in it with the Tale of the Primarch that we shared.
Yeah, so I'm about halfway through that, and I started that on Wednesday.
Awesome.
So that's really cool.
That's
we
so
have to
cool.
read more.
Smashing out books.
So yeah, it just means that I'm going to have to start buying more books.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because I would love to be caught up on the Heresy and be waiting for them to bring out the next book. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, although you have to wait for them unless you're bothered about the different size books. You have to wait for it to come out in hardback and the legendary paperback or whatever they call it. And then you have to wait for the small paperback.
Mm.
So it takes like a year, year and a half to get that version.
Yeah.
So I don't mind being behind, but I'm a lot further behind than I would like to be. So, yes, we'll see. Anyway, that's the end of our first segment. We've talked about a lot, and hopefully you enjoyed it and found it interesting and us sharing what we've been up to. We're going to take a break, get
hour
our breaths back.
In.
Yeah. Jeez. Have a drink, and yeah, we'll hit you back with Pain and Joy of 40K.
Hey guys, Sam here from the Adeptus Terra podcast. I'd like to take this opportunity to advertise you guys, actually. If you want to get in contact with us to advertise any gaming groups, Facebook pages, any other podcast, anything to do with 40K and the hobby, then just drop us an email on the Adeptus Terra podcast at gmail.com. That's the Adeptus Terra podcast at gmail.com. We'd be happy to have that conversation with you and hopefully get an advert going out for you. Thanks. See you soon.
So welcome back. This is our Pain and Joy of 40K. We're going to shoot straight into our pains because we're already running long. Sam, your pain.
So my pain is people that shout, wah. I get your orcs are going to do something running at something, but I don't need you to shout, wah at the idiot. Okay, it happened at Warhammer World.
Okay.
So some kid just started screaming, wah, and it was just like, look, I'm all for the game, but chill out. Cool your boots, cool your jets.
All right. Yeah.
It's a silly pain about it. It's just like, cool, if that's how you want a game, then cool, go ahead and game that way.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just like, chill out. But then I don't like orcs. So I can't read the codex because it's going, me's like, guns.
No, it's not.
Like, can't
it's,
do it.
It's written normal.
Cough, can't do it. Where is it then? I was reading something.
It's in like the little quotes sometimes.
Yeah,
but the actual meat.
And it's that stuff that kind of like, no, don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, orcs have always had a bit of a comedy value, and I think people love that about them. I like that, some part of it. I quite like the savagery of them. Mm. So, like, just read Rin's World, one of the Space Marine Battles books, and man, that is a definite example. Like, there's part in the story where they're like cooking a farmer that they've captured over like a spit roast, basically. Yeah. It's like pretty legit. It's like, whoa.
And that's cool. And that's awesome. But
yeah.
I don't need to be shouted out or be shouted near saying, yeah, wah, because your guys are going to wah in. And it's like, awesome, cool.
It's like, wah, yeah, yeah, I can run and then assault.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah.
And that's it. Like, and I don't,
yeah,
want
I do get it.
I don't want it to come across like I'm like bugging on someone's game and the way they want to play it. Because I'm not. It's just when you're sat there and someone's shouting wah next to you, you kind of think, "Look, man, I don't work here." So,
I think the thing is that as you get older, like as we get older and we play, well, we get a little bit grumpier, but we like the way we play.
Yeah,
you know, and we want to play our way. So, you know, that's why, you know, we might get down on the super competitive way because actually it's not what we like.
Yeah.
So it's like a valid opinion. It's
like
just
me going into a library and going, books! I just don't.
Yeah, it is a bit weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one, but yeah.
Right, what's your pain?
So my pain is the fact that we have to have a pain section.
Man, now I look like an absolute tool.
No.
I hate everyone.
No. Like, I don't know. I was challenged recently by something Carl said on the latest Independent Characters episode. I think it was the latest one. It might have been the one before. I can't remember. But, you know, and just saying, look, if you hate on this hobby, don't be in it. And
yeah,
kind of he was talking about internet haters and people just bashing GW all the time, you know, about their release schedule or about their color scheme or about this or about that.
Yeah.
And it made me think, do you know what? Like, why do we have a section in the podcast where we moan about stuff? Like, it kind of made me go, are we turning into those guys?
Yeah.
Now, I do want to defend the reason we do this is because we're realistic, you know?
Yeah.
And there is always going to be things about this hobby that we find hard. So often our pains have been about ourselves. Either I remember talking about my laziness or finding it hard to paint,
Yeah.
That was a pain. So it's not hate. It's a pain.
See, whereas I hate everyone, so my hates are normally outwards, because when you're as perfect as I am, it's difficult to...
No, Sam. This is radio. They cannot see the face. They won't get the sarcasm.
No, but, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Like my, you know, it made me think and reflect on the fact that, you know, we talk about stuff that we aren't getting on with, and I think that's fine, and I don't want to cut the segment completely at all. Like, I quite enjoy it, and guys have been vocal on what they find hard on the Facebook page, and great, and I love that conversation. But I guess maybe it's because we're English and we like to moan a lot.
And queue.
Like, huh?
We like to queue a lot.
We like to queue a lot, yeah, and serve tea and cucumber sandwiches. No. But, you know, we naturally kind of get a bit pessimistic. I know I do. At least maybe I'm just speaking for all Britain. But, yeah, you know, I like kind of talking and moaning a bit. But actually, this hobby's awesome. And whatever we go through that might be a little bit rubbish, whether it's someone bashing our game style or us struggling to paint, there's always a joy. And that's why I like our segment, that it works. You know, we do a bit about what we don't like and a bit about what we do like.
Yeah.
But it just, I guess my pain is about how, if I get to the heart of it, how I naturally become one of those haters, not necessarily always against GW, but just, oh, that fanboy is an idiot, or that person that called a wire is an idiot, or...
You know, say he was an idiot.
No, yeah, but that's what I mean.
Get out of my space.
I can fall into that trap so easily.
Yeah, yeah.
And Carl's comment really kind of made me reflect on that. So, yeah, that's kind of my pain, that cool. I join in with the keyboard warriors sometimes, and I get caught up when people are a bit silly and argue rules with you, even though you're, you know, someone who's supposed to be running a club,
you know,
which has happened before. And it's like, why are you arguing with me when you've asked me for the rule? Like, just things like that. And I get down on people and on stuff a bit too easily.
Okay, cool.
So that's my pain.
What's your joy?
My joy is my orcs. You know, I've building those Storm Boys and going through that kit was really fun. They've got a lot of character in them, the orc models. Mm-hmm. Just the different faces and heads and, you know, the positions you can have the arms and the different rocket packs for the Storm Boys. Mm. Building the tank busters, just orcs carrying these massive weapons with rockets on them and just, you know, just fun stuff. I've really enjoyed building them. And like I say, it's really kind of hyped me up to paint. And I'm hoping next month I'll get more done than I have this month.
Yeah.
But that's been my pain, just the fact getting back into orcs. You know, I've played Tyranids for a while and they've been really hard. And I'm not putting them down. But it's been nice to have a new, fresh army to kind of go, oh, I haven't played them for a while, pick them up.
Yeah.
And we've had two games, and I lost one and I won one.
Yeah.
And they were both fun games.
Cool.
So, awesome. Yeah, just orcs have been my joy.
I think my joy at the moment is Black Library. So, obviously, reading the Mechanicum and reading Tales of Heresy and stuff. It's really cool to read through and kind of get the ideas while you're reading. Going, oh, I could do that in 40K, I could do that in my game. So I was reading Tales of Heresy, and there's a really good, really, really good story about the Custodes.
That's a really fun one.
And the only experience of the Custodes I've had is from those videos where they make them out to be like the YMCA backing dancers. So
yeah.
I was reading through it, and I was kind of thinking, wow, these guys are cool. Like, I could do this.
Yeah.
I could make these people. I could play. I could win.
Yeah. You know you have a good Black Library book when you finish it, you put it down and go, well, that's my next army. You know, for me, you know, I got given the Space Wolf Codex. Brilliant. But the thing that made me stick to them and really go for it is the Black Library books, the Space Wolf Omnibus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what sold me on them. And you know, Battle of the Fang and all that kind of stuff.
So if you are listening, Black Library, carry on doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you're doing awesome stuff.
Focus more on Blood Angels, because I want a new army.
You've got Blood Angels.
I know, but I want a better army with fluff more driven. More fluff-driven army.
Oh, well, that's just stop bringing cheese lists.
There's nothing wrong with five blood barbreds. All right, cool. So now we have a listener, a Facebook subscriber, Facebook.
An awesome dude.
An awesome guy called Matt Few, not you.
No. I am awesome, though.
From the Facebook page. He's posted up this. You can't see the photo, obviously, because this is a podcast.
Yeah, great radio.
But go to the podcast and look at Tuesday at 9:24 p.m. if you want to see the photo. So he said, what do you guys think about this one? It's one of those things that really gets under my skin, selling it for nearly double the price and buy multiple ones so people who actually want it can't get it.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the Plasma Obliterator, the new cannon emplacement that Games Workshop have brought out.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other day, actually. I thought you'd hate it because you're quite a negative person. So
I do hate it, but we'll get.
I quite like it. It will match the other emplacements that I have. So like my America cannon.
Yeah.
So it'll match that. It's quite cool. I don't think I'd pay the £90 price tag it's asking for on this. This is an excerpt from
eBay. Isn't
from
it?
eBay, and someone's bought it for. Someone's put it up there for £90. Buy now. £5. Postage, so 95 quid for a kit that is what?
I don't know what it is, actually.
Let's hope it's not 100 quid, because this could all fall in its face.
No, it's not. It is like nearly double its price. I think it's like 50, 60. Yeah, it really winds me up as well. I mean...
Like, I get, you buy the limited edition stuff, and if you don't use it, then cool, sell it on. But not buying, say, 10.
Yeah.
And take it away from myself who wants to buy it. And they actually went out of stock on their website. So no one could buy them. All right, they're back in stock now because they've probably gone and remade some. However,
they're limited edition still.
Okay.
They've come back, but they've sold out again.
So what annoys me is people buy them deliberately to sell them on to make a price markup. People moan at how much Games Workshop stuff costs anyway, let alone if you go and put a markup on it because you're, all right, being greedy. I can't answer it. Being greedy and taking advantage of the likes of people from Australia who cost a bomb to get stuff and probably wouldn't look at it all the time. Or take advantage of the people that want to buy it but
advantage of the people who are at work and can't actually get on when it comes live and miss out.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I've noticed it with the Space Marine Codex when they brought out the limited edition, you know, the different chapters they brought out?
Yeah, yeah.
They had like a Salamander on the front of one, a White Scar, Raven Guard, etc., etc. And, you know, they were up on eBay within 10 minutes of being released, you know, for double the amount of price. And they still weren't even sold out on the Games Workshop site. And I don't know, it's just like, really? I mean, I went to a Black Library event when they brought out Traitor's Gorge, which was a novella of Rinsworld. So I really wanted it. And it was advertised as one copy per person.
Yeah.
But it was in the small print, it was one copy per person by midday. So that, you know, everyone that came to the event could buy it if they wanted it. But after that time, there was a woman who must have bought 20 copies. Literally 20 copies. And she put them in this suitcase and then left the event. She didn't hang around for any of the seminars or anything. She just went. And I was like, that's odd. And then we asked the Black Library guys and they said, oh, well, yeah, it was only one per copy after 12 o'clock. And we were like, yeah, but she's just going to go put them on eBay and sell them for double. And they were like, well, we've kind of, without saying it, we've sold it. So whatever. Lo and behold, we went on the on eBay about 20 minutes after she left, and it was a photo, and we must have found literally her channel, because it was a photo of her holding the book in Warhammer World, and it was up for like 70 quid, because it was an event-only limited edition book.
Yeah.
And she bought 20 to sell on eBay, because those who couldn't get to the event, like either couldn't afford it or it was too far to travel, but really wanted that book, then, you know, that was the only way they could get it.
And I get you can kind of argue, oh, people can get it from the fact they're not at the library, the Black Library are only going to send them at the event, they're not going to send them online. But still, she's profiteering off of other people's,
Off of Black Library's creativity, off of Games Workshop's.
But I think at that point, product. We're getting into a massive argument over where you can resell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
course,
like, look at the rules from Microsoft and Sony about reselling, the rules they tried to do
of
reselling games and stuff. So, at that point, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth. But it just kind of annoys me, I suppose, from Matt as well, from the Facebook page, that people will go and resell stuff, like limited edition stuff, and buy multiples.
Yeah, it really winds me up, and I don't feel bad about that winding me up, because I think it's a bit immoral. Anyway.
Stab, stab, stab.
Have you... What, your joy... This all came out of your joy. We moved into a pain.
What was my joy?
You're about Black Library books.
Yeah. Black Library.
And then we went into that.
I think The Heresy is one of those things which everyone should read. It's kind of like living in the USA and not understanding the history behind the USA. Or...
What history?
There is history.
Wow.
Like the Tea Party?
Like 50 years.
They've been there for more than 50. Right, whatever. I do not want to alienate the majority the large chunk of our listeners.
But
from,
But that's
the...
I'm only joking.
It's like...
We love you.
It's like being mad about football,
but not understanding how football works.
Yeah, yeah, not understanding the offside rule.
I could tell you the offside rule.
Yeah, so can I.
Maybe. but yeah, so that's, I suppose that's it.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Matt, for sharing that on our Facebook page. We love to hear your pains and your joys and your hobby progress, so keep going. Page is at like 50 likes, which is quite cool. We'd love to see it higher. And yeah, we're going to carry on with this segment. We're going to try and maybe spend less time moaning and more time talking about what we love. Just as a kind of, we want to be a positive podcast and don't want to just bash on GW. I know you, a lot of you guys don't like that out podcast, so we don't want to do that.
No, not
I mean, we don't feel that way anyway, so we wouldn't. But yeah, it was refreshing to be challenged on how my mentality was about this hobby.
Oh, I want to quickly say, nice. I want to quickly say thank you to Paul. From the Facebook group, he's putting up so much stuff on,
yeah,
the, on,
awesome.
on the Facebook page, like stuff he's painted, games he's had, and I like how he's,
yeah, at one point it felt like he was doing our first segment.
Yeah,
he was like, here's what I've bought, here's what I've built, here's what I've painted, and these are my games. It was really cool. Like, keep going, Paul, people do it.
We should get him down to be another host. We'll get a Skype host.
Don't know if we're ready for that one.
Oh, okay. Right, cool.
Made me look like the bad guy there.
Why?
Because I said no.
That's fine. Paul, I'd like to have you as a host. It's all Matt's fault. And right. Let's end the segment there.
Yeah, let's move on very quickly. We're going to finish, have another break, and come back with our 40K Spotlight. See you soon.
I'm going to have a pot noodle.
Hey guys, Matt from the Adeptus Terra podcast here. Just want to take this moment and advertise our Facebook page with you. If you want to get involved and share your thoughts and your feelings about this podcast, about what you'd like to see, or even share some of the stuff you're up to, we love seeing your hobby progress. Go to www.facebook.com/ the Adeptus Terra podcast, and we'll see you there. So welcome back to our third segment, our 40K Spotlight, and this episode we're talking about the planet of Mordian.
Mordian.
Yeah, it's a planet that maybe not that many people have heard of. It's the planet of the Mordian Iron Guards, which we'll get into, and yeah, it's quite an important planet in where it's based in space. So I thought we'd talk about that to start with.
Do you know, when I was looking at stuff for this, the background, all the models I could see were all like, fourth edition.
Yeah, they're all metal, old pewter models. They don't have any new plastics. There might be third party stuff out there.
Maybe, that'd be quite cool. We'll get into that later.
So the planet of Mordian is in the Segmentum Obscurus. Dun dun dun.
I have no idea what that
and
means.
No one has any idea where that means. Yeah. Well, what that is, it's one of the five segments of Imperium space. That's how they kind of, you know, catalogue everything. And it's above Terra. So it's the northern part of the galaxy above Terra, and it's full of really important places. It's a really big deal in the 40K universe. Like, it really is.
Right, okay. What else is there?
Right, so what else is there?
Say Fenris is there.
It is indeed.
Right, okay, there we go. That's why it's the most important part.
So, no, there's lots. So notable planets are Cadia.
Okay, it's
so
Cadia Gate.
Cadian Gate. The Cadian Iron Guard? No, Mordian Iron Guard. The Cadian forces of the guard, and the Cadian Gate right by the Eye of Terror. Hint, the Eye of Terror is in this area of space. Fenris, obviously, space wolves, awesome, enough said. The planet of Medusa, which is the Iron Hands homeworld.
Is that where they make the Medusa pattern
probably
launchers?
Probably not.
No, okay.
Probably where the first one came from.
Yeah, maybe.
but yeah, then there's the planet of Mordian itself, which we're talking about.
Cool.
And the Mordian Iron Guards. Caliban was in this area of space before it blew up, which we spoke about last episode.
Did it blow up, though?
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay. Nice to know it's completely fully out there now.
Yeah, no, it fully blew up. We know, just the rest of the 41st millennium don't know. No, they knew it blew up. They knew it blew up. They just don't know why. But yeah, so Caliban was in that area, so that would be three homeworlds of, you know, first founding legions.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, you know, big deal area of space. Voistra is also in this area as well. So they're the Voistroians, you know, the Russian guys with the fluffy hats?
Yes.
The Voistroian regiments or whatever they're called, something like that.
Is it Voistroian?
Voistroian, Voistroian, I don't know.
The Russian looking ones.
Yeah, yeah, they're cool.
the ones Games Workshop obviously didn't rip off of Soviet War Russia.
But yeah, so you've got those guys and their planet. So, you know, quite a lot of big planets that have armies and units and legions that we all know about. You know, so it's quite important. Other areas, other things that are in this area of space, celestial things, I don't know what you'd call them, is the Eye of Terror itself. Cool. So, you know, obviously with Cadia and everything nearby, that's where that area is. Craft World Uthwe.
Oh, good.
So Eldrad's craft world. Someone asked us to do Eldrad as a 40k spotlight.
We could do that.
We could possibly. I mean, we're planned up to episode 12, so maybe afterwards. Yeah. But it was something that was mentioned. So yeah, you never know. But yeah, Craft World Uthwe is in this area of space. You've got the Gildar Rift, which is like a rift in space. There's a cool book called The Gildar Rift, written by Sarah Corkwell, which has Hurin Blackheart in it, the Iron Skulls, I think, chapter, and some Space Wolves turn up, so worth a read.
Such a fanboy.
I am such a fanboy. And the Halo Stars as well, which is nothing to do with the game.
Or is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just a group of stars that are out kind of at the top end of the area of space.
Are they in like a giant halo formation?
Yeah, let's go with a yes.
You can't make up 40k for love.
No, well, lots of people do, sadly. But yeah. But yeah, there's lots kind of going on in this space. There's, you know, Space Marine chapters now. There's Imperial Guard regiments. There's the Eye of Terror, which is where, you know, Baden is gaining his forces and getting ready to go for the Imperium.
It's fairly busy.
It's pretty busy and a lot going on.
Cool.
And Mordian is right at the center of all of this. And it's quite important to know that before we get into the planet. And it's quite close to the Eye of Terror as well, which kind of explains the big event that we will talk about. But it's an Imperium Hive World. We've spoke a lot about Hive Worlds in the past. It was actually our very first episode. So if you've never listened to it, go back and listen to our 40K Spotlight segment about Hive Worlds.
Cool.
Because there's lots in there that we won't go over again. But it's basically a huge city, tons of people crammed in, horrible way to live, grim, dark, you know, people oppressed, horrible place. But also raises up very mean, strong, determined people as well. So that, you know, they're quite good places. They're like death worlds almost. They
think of the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Although they're not in kind of jam-packed cities, but yeah.
Don't think of the Hunger Games.
But, you know, it's...
Think
it's...
of... what's the one where they get the journey through the middle of the earth?
No idea.
Where they have to go through and they get to London on the other side.
What?
They're in that. The guy...
Shut up.
Right, if anyone knows, post it on the Facebook group.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's where they've
about.
Got the ship that flies, that throws itself through the centre of the earth and to get to the other side. And the poor people are on one side and the rich people are on the other. And it's obviously set in London.
No idea.
If anyone knows, then put it on the
Sounds
Facebook
weird.
Because it's but, that. It's basically right. that.
It's a sci-fi city, huge towers... actually, Mordian has huge pyramid-like towers,
right.
So they get skinnier as they go up, you know, like normal pyramids. And kind of the hierarchy live in the higher spaces where there's cleaner air, more space, you know, good views at least of the city. And as you get lower, you get the poorer and poorer and poorer, and the factory workers and the people who their job is just their life really is just to wake up, serve the Imperium. And they, you know, are born there and they die there and they very rarely achieve anything other than
dying
their job.
Okay.
You know, whatever their job is, making bullets, you know, doing whatever they're doing.
Quite an important mission for the...
Oh, period. Fully. And, you know, they can't... That's why these hive worlds are created, but it's not a particularly good place to live if you're part of it. Now, the planet itself is landlocked. So there's like no oceans, there's no vast amount of water, and because of that, they're quite low on water. So the Tetrarchy are quite stingy with giving them water and aid and food. They kind of hold stuff back from themselves, and it breeds contempt towards the leadership of the planet, and it kind of causes quite a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of hive worlds find this. You get the lower the lows living in such crap conditions that they're... You know, they're like, how can the Imperium make us live this way? Our rulers are, you know, not giving us enough food and not looking after us properly. So that must mean the Imperium don't care about us. And it doesn't take long to build up and build up. And then suddenly they're like, screw it, let's go against the Imperium. And then through that, somehow, some way, Chaos gets thrown in there, and you get Chaos Cultists and all that stuff going on. And that's just one threat to a Hive World. Again, like I said, go back to episode one and listen if you want to know more.
Does this happen on
Mordia? We're getting there.
Oh, okay.
We are getting there.
Haven't seen your notes.
Yeah, sorry. But the other interesting thing about Mordian itself, so it's a hive world, lots of cities, like I said, you know, landlocked, not a lot of water, kind of struggles with all, you know, its amenities to feed its, you know, millions and millions of population. It's also a world that's known as a world of eternal night.
Okay.
And the reason for this is the way it rotates around its sun, one half of the planet is permanently in darkness. And that side of the planet is where all the population live, because the side that faces the sun is so hot that you would just die. So it's kind of like you would just burn.
Okay.
So Chronicles of Riddick, we're doing films.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to run across the Earth before the sun comes up because it's just so hot.
Yeah, and
not
dive
the Earth,
into
but
the
planet. Yeah, and the prison that's underground. I can't remember what they call it, but it's kind of like that on the side of the planet facing the sun is just boiling and burning, and it's barren and there's no life. And then on the other side of the planet, which is always in night, is cool enough for humanity to live.
Cool.
So that's where they are. They're all, you know, in this darkness all the time, which must be a bit weird. But I guess the guys in the lowest part of the hive world probably never see the sky anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, metal hab blocks and their factory that they work in. So flicking through my notes, the actual size of the area of land that the Mordians live on is 1/10 of the actual planet. They're just crammed in so much that actually the rest of the planet is just kind of useless. There's no decent minerals for mining. There's no good reason. It's either too rocky or it's on the sunny side of the world. So they actually only live on like 10% of the planet. And that size is 1/10 of the size of the Earth.
Okay.
So again, kind of just keep shrinking down. They're really crammed in here.
That's interesting.
Hundreds of millions of people just crammed into this one giant city.
Well, hablocks are ridiculously tall anyway.
So oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not go up to the atmosphere.
It's not like going into like London or
New York. Yeah, we don't understand skyscraper in this context.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. But like I said, it breeds contempt and it causes problems, and you get people either not working because they just decide, who cares, I don't want to do this anymore. They have, you know, chaos cults that pop up every now and again because someone's whispered those laws of chaos and there's another way, serve us, that kind of stuff. And if it wasn't for the Mordian Iron Guard, then this planet would have fallen. You know, it's so bad and the ruling class are so corrupt that there's no way that there wouldn't be any, you know, it would be a fallen chaos planet, which the Imperium could not deal with. You know, it would just be overrun and they'd be able to produce the stuff for chaos worshippers. You know, you'd probably have Space Marine legions there, you know, arming up and, you know, demons aplenty. And if it wasn't for the Iron Guard kind of keeping discipline, keeping order, you know, basically being the planet's police force, man, it would be a horrible, even worse place to be.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about the Iron Guard?
So, the Mordian Iron Guard. I'm never going to say this right. I never have to say
this
right.
Mordian Iron Guard.
That's the first time. They're training. So the pride of Iron Guard is the fact they undergo this rigorous training, and they're taught the loyalty and determination which allows them to conduct the destruction of the Emperor's enemies. And most of all, it preserves Mordia. It keeps Mordia ticking over. It keeps them being able to keep producing those bullets. It keeps them producing stuff for the Imperium that
they
need.
Chips, whatever they're building.
Anything they build, they can do it because they have this discipline installed onto them. Due to the volatility of the world itself, the training of the discipline and indoctrination of the pursuit of the enemy allows the governing body of Mordia,
The Tetrarchy,
there we go. It allows them to prevent the world from descending into chaos, savagery, and starvation. So through this, the constant goal of defeating the enemy, do that for the Imperium, keep going, it prevents what Matt was saying about the hive world falling into deprivation, whatever the word is.
Just making up words.
I'm not making up
deprivation.
Words. Deprivation. There we go. It stops them falling into that and fighting and creating these chaos cults because they're installed with such discipline.
Yeah.
which is obviously really good. Really good.
Yeah, well,
them.
I guess it would inspire those that aren't part of the guard to kind of be like, well, we want to be like them because
exactly.
They're kind of cool and we're just lowly factory workers. Yeah.
So the Mordian Guard are among the most dependable troops in the entire Imperium. The Mordian Guardsmen.
Big claim.
That is wow. A very big, bold claim. Yeah. But that's what they say about themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Now who's going to argue?
Yeah, exactly. Go and pick a fight with Mordian Guardsmen. And the most dependable troops in the entire Imperium, the Mordian Guardsmen will allow. Will follow any order to the letter without hesitation, question, or remorse. It's been known for the Mordian Guardsmen to continually fire, reload, fire again until he or his enemy have been destroyed. Or yeah. They run out of bullets. Whatever comes. Oh, sorry, not bullets, battery packs.
Yeah, las packs.
So just from that alone, you can obviously, they are, well, crazy. Iron discipline.
Yeah.
They are the unrelenting continuation of the Imperium that they feel, and it's with the discipline that's installed upon them.
Yeah, I mean they kind of like just never hold back, do they? They're like, we're gonna stay here, we're gonna stand our ground, and even if we are gonna fall back, we're gonna walk backward shooting.
Exactly, and yeah. we'll look at one of the most monumentous fights in a moment of the Mordian Iron Guard.
Yeah.
But even facing demonic hordes of chaos, the Iron Guard regiments have proven the ability to stand their ground, striking down the enemy with the disciplined fire. And if for any reason they're forced to withdraw, they don't do it just running away like any other guardsmen. They do it in regimented lines, just walking one pace backwards at a time in order to basically. Right, we're going back, but we ain't happy about it.
Yeah.
Kind of same thing.
We're going back, but we're going to take out as much as possible while we go back.
And it's also like, look at the centurions in Rome. You're like, each centurion would be walking back and be protecting the person behind him, the person beside him,
with their
shield.
They
so they protect their brothers and they protect the lines of battle to ensure that they're given away just enough that they need to, not just running aimlessly behind, which could be said for Cadia. So moving on to how they fight.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So the Mordian Iron Guard, the regiments form solid walls of soldiers whose main aim is to cut through the ranks of the enemy with perfectly drilled and timed volleys of fire.
Yeah.
So if you imagine like archers in Knights of the Round Table style, first guys, you know what, actually, the best example going on movies is Lord of the Rings, where they have in the opening scene of the first one, where they have the elven archers. First rank fire, they kneel down. Second rank fire, they kneel down.
The
third rank fire.
Two towers at Helm's Deep.
No. In the opening.
Oh, like, in the actual opening.
Yeah.
Oh, where they're fighting on Mordor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the disciplined nature of fire down, fire down. And then it was the continuation of fire, which would basically suppress the enemy.
Yeah,
it reminds me
of the old way of fighting with muskets.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was like your first rank fired and then knelt down and
second
reloaded.
Rank fired.
While the second rank fired, and you know, that's written straight into the guard codex. But these guys really epitomise that. I mean, even with their dress code, you know, it reminds me of
that. We'll get onto that.
Yeah, no,
it just
reminds me of that really old school type of, you know, film about we've got guns and you've got spears kind of stuff. Like, I don't know.
Look at the British redcoats.
Yeah, it reminds me of The Last Samurai.
Okay.
With Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Not a great film, but has that, you know, the guys are trained with the muskets and then you've got samurai running at them on horses and they're doing the disciplined fire and cutting them down and it reminds me of that.
So like I said, they're trained to be perfectly in sync with one another and drill to the timed volley of fire that has basically the most effective way of killing people, killing ranks upon ranks of demons or hordes. They make the full use of bayonets at every opportunity, which is quite good. bayonets are fixed at all times, just in case.
Cool. That's quite cool if you want to do Mordians, you know, because they don't have any new models, actually.
Yeah.
Using the Cadian kit, finding different heads and putting on only the las guns that come with bayonets. That could be a starting way of doing in a Mordian Iron Guard army.
So,
ideas.
All Mordian Iron Guard boast that they're all accomplished sharpshooters.
Oh, really?
And
they seem a bit cocky.
And they're all, when they're that good, they can be. And they're all proficient.
You'd be a Mordian Iron Guard.
Yeah. Thank you, because I'm that good.
Yeah.
So they're all accomplished sharpshooters, and they're proficient in close combat order drills. So Imagine ranks upon ranks of them just like doing jujitsu style fighting.
That'd be funny.
The Mordi Nyagars organize their support forces into separate heavy weapons platoons.
Yeah.
And make good use of rattling snipers, sanctioned psychers across the entire battlefield.
I remember reading that.
Which obviously means that they have troops, the support force, and they have some rattlings sort of hiding in the trees.
Yeah, well, they're probably quite good if you're bringing up a load of soldiers that are all forming a line.
Yeah.
Using something like rattlings to scout ahead and tell you where the large amount of enemy are, you can adapt your lines. Like, I imagine them using the Vox net and being like, you've got a horde of this coming your way, but to the right flank, so they can reposition their amount of men and stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine that really working.
Yeah.
And again, the sanctioned psychers can be behind the lines and either producing psychic shields or shooting over, you know, lightning bolts out of their eyes or whatever they're doing. Behind the guard of the line, you know. So they're not going to get taken out, and they're less likely to be taken down because you've got this wall of guardsmen protecting them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be quite a cool way of playing. I mean, yeah, I don't know how it'd be very good for a castle army.
But
you mentioned they like going into heavy weapons. My notes tell me that they love using las cannons.
So their preferred weaponry is grenade launcher and las cannons. So just fire the grenades and then fire las cannons.
Again, grenades in, you know, imagine, you know, a horde of Hormigants running over the hill at the line of las guns. Actually, the odd grenade launcher blowing up six or seven of them would quite help the las gun fire.
Yeah. So the equipment that they would use, the Mordi Nyagards prefer to go into battle in full dress. Much similar to the number one dress of the armed forces in the UK. Like full-on suits, perfect hats, swords, etc. And this actually is a bit of a psychological warfare. They come over the hill towards the enemy, and the enemy are like, hang on, they look more like palace guard than actual soldiers.
Yeah. And they're all finery and look posh and not that odd.
Yeah, so the uniform, imagine it's brightly coloured, normally blues and reds.
Yeah, I remember seeing them painted blue.
And it's considered the distraction and misleading to the enemy. The dress gives the impression that they're all ceremonial and palace guard rather than a fighting force. And actually it's very, very different to that. Basically, the misunderstanding of this never lasts very long, because as soon as the lines of guard open up, the volley of fire, followed by unrelenting resolve and bayonets shoved up.
Yeah.
They don't like it up 'em.
But you just get this picture of these guys and you know, I don't know, it's interesting. I guess maybe I could imagine a race like the Necrons, who are quite arrogant in nature, or at least in the current fluff. We owned everything, bow down to us, would see all these kind of brightly coloured, you know, marching band almost.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, whatever, let's just go and kill them. And then suddenly all this las garden fire comes in, las cannons going off, grenades going off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, flipping heck. And actually that first, you know, if they break your first assault, it's very hard to get a second one and get as much of an oomph and a force through. So I imagine that's quite good for kind of holding out even longer, which the Iron Guard are really known to do. You know, if they can break that first assault, it's very hard for them to be detrenched. So that's really cool. I like the way they do that.
You like that, do you?
I think it's really cool the way they kind of, you know, actually we're going to wear this robe, and it's not because we're not trained and we're just kind of there to march around and look pretty. It's actually because we take our roles seriously and we're disciplined to always have shiny shoes and kick your ass. Like, it's both, you know, it's quite cool.
Each little fun field fact for you, Matt.
Ooh, I like these.
Each regiment has their own banner.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Which boasts that no two are the same. The banner is considered a sacred part of each guardsman, of each platoon regiment. And regiment. And each guardsman swears an oath of moment to never let it fall or be captured.
Okay.
The banners are created during a ceremony that takes place in the Tetrarchal Palace. The Tetrarchal Palace.
There you go. That's not too bad.
So they're created there at the point during the ceremony, and then each guardsman will then swear an allegiance to it.
Take this stuff seriously.
Yep, absolutely. So you could, that'd be awesome to do like a
dying guard holding up the flag.
Yeah, yeah, never letting it fall. But doing like a relic.
Yeah.
Put their flag in the middle and be like, go get your flag, boys.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool.
Be like, capture the flag.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
That would be a really good way of, again, we keep coming up with good ways of doing this.
We'll
army.
Do that at the end. At the end, we'll talk about how we can do the army.
Sorry.
So, noticeable units.
Yeah, let's do that.
Reading through the list of noticeable.
Notable.
Notable units. There we go. My language is bad. You have basically, it's like the 2nd, the 3rd, the 10th, the 11th, the 26th, and the 56th. So okay. How many units are there?
Yeah.
So it's regiment, the 2nd Regiment. The Mordian 2nd were part of the Macrion Crusade.
Macrion.
How do you know this? You're not even reading it.
No, I haven't got it in front of me, but I just know because I've read it before.
The Macrion?
Macrion.
Macrion.
Or Macrion.
Macrion.
Either. Okay, no one cool. knows how it's actually said.
Macrion Crusade. And they're victorious in the objectives during the invasion of Jukra.
No, I've no idea what that one is.
Yeah. The Mordian 3rd is one of the most decorated and celebrated Iron Guard regiments on Mordia. It took part in the defense of Hive Barbarossa.
Yeah.
Release the Kraken.
That's Barbossa.
Oh, okay. Against the against an Orc War during the Battle of the Marble Gardens.
Yeah.
The Mordian's 10th fought in the 13th Black Crusade.
Well, that's redacted because the 13th hasn't happened yet.
Well. They will fight in the...
Yeah. There's...
Spoiler.
Prophecy!
The Mordian 11th fought in the Sabbat World's Crusades.
Yeah, Sabbat.
The 22nd, the Mordian 22nd served under the Lord Marshal Graf Harazan of the Vrastorian Firstborns.
Oh, cool.
Supreme Commander of the Imperial Forces in Medusa 5. On Medusa 5.
Oh, that's one of the worlds around the Iron Hands, which we mentioned earlier.
Cool.
Juice of 5 is cool.
And then finally, Regiment 56th. The 56th Mordian is a mechanized force responsible for ending the Komal Revolt. Their execution of a tenth of the planet's population for failing their duty to the Emperor and fear of further reprisals ensured the planet's future loyalty to his divine rule.
Wow, that's Death Corps of Krieg stuff there.
They're
kill
not,
a tenth.
They're not loyal anymore. Kill a tenth.
That's literally decimation.
It's good. That's good.
Cool, okay.
Do you want to go against the armoured regiments? So the notable armoured regiments?
Oh, blimey.
I did some research.
Yeah, you really did.
Right, so the 12th Armoured Regiment, extremely well drilled and efficient. The 15 companies of the Mordian 12th Armoured each consist of 13 Lehman Russ battle tanks.
Oh.
They've recently been deployed to the Calixis sector, currently commanded by Colonel Howland Talens. The Mordian 16th Armoured Regiment contains a Stylus Sigurus.
I can't see your notes.
Stygris, 6th?
I don't know. Oh, blind minute. I don't know.
Okay, cool. So anyway, the Stygris 6, 7, 8th pattern, Lehman Russ Vanquisher. It's either the first of the company or the 3rd, depending on the marking on the vehicles. The 278th Mordian Armoured Regiment, took part in the Battle of Barak 6. When it lost 2 entire armoured companies due to a Death Strike missile launcher stolen by Orc looters.
That's so good. That sounds like an amazing story.
You can read it.
I can imagine an Orc just walking up, what does this button do? Boom!
And then finally, the 3rd Heavy Tank Company. The 3rd Mordian Heavy Tank Company is known to include a Mars Pattern Shadow Sword, possibly an Alpha 3. As the 3rd tank of the company. Although the rest of the company is mixed with Bane Blades and Shadow Swords and Storm Blades, it's possible...
it's your company.
It's my company. It's possible that this tank had 2 confirmed Titan kills.
Ooh.
So...
That's cool.
Quite a good tank, then.
Yeah, it's quite...
How would you paint that on a tank? Just, like, do a little mural of the...
I don't know how you do kill.
Because obviously
markings.
You have, like, kill, like, lines and stuff, but Titan is not a line.
No, well, I've thought about doing kill markings, but then I just think, but the tank blows up every now and again, and you're like...
Scrub it off.
It's just like my Predator, you know what? Paint over it and redo it. It's just too much work. I just know. No. But yeah, that's really cool. Wow. Thanks for doing all that work. That sounds
that's
quite
fun.
Cool.
It was actually really interesting to read. And I was reading through the my guard codex.
Yeah.
There's not a lot in here about them.
No, they normally do that. I mean, it's kind of all assumed because they do Cadian kits. Everyone does Cadia.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a shame. I mean, it's quite difficult to do them. Like, yeah, when you look at the picture of them, there's no models in Games Workshop that will look anything like that.
They're very much Napoleonic fleet.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it.
So I'll read what you
without mean, the crazy hats.
Without the crazy hats. Right. I'll read what it says in here about the Mordian Iron Guard from the Codex. Mordian is a hellish night world. It's close packed hives ruled over by an iron fist of the Triarchy.
Tetrarchy.
Whatever. Tetrarchy. It is a totalitarian system that has given rise to the unquestionable obedient Mordian Iron Guard. It's during cover as the refuge of cowards. Oh, interesting. Assuring cover as refuge of cowards, the Mordian press relentlessly forward, unleashing constant volleys of Lasgun upon their Lasgun fire upon their foes. So again, very disciplined and leaders.
Yeah, everything that we were just talking about. Cool. Well, shall we go into this notable battle? So yeah, this battle of Mordian is quite a cool story. It kind of comes about on Mordia. Or no, sorry, not Mordia. On Mordian.
There we go. I kept doing that when I was reading for it. Yeah. Like, Mordia? That don't make sense. No,
Mordian. Yeah.
Mordian.
I quite like Mordia, but it's not what it's called.
Nah. So it's between the invading hordes of Chaos and the Mordian Iron Guard in total.
Yeah, basically, that's how it ended up. I mean, it all started off with a ridiculously hot summer. So we've already said half the planet's like boiling.
Yeah.
But when it's really hot, even in the you know that from a really hot summer's day, even in the evening, it's hot, it's sweaty, it's clammy. You're getting thirsty more. We've already said there's a severe lack of water. And basically some of the guys in the lower kind of ends of the city decided, you know what, this isn't good enough, and started stealing from their co-workers and started, you know, trying to get more and more, trying to work out devilish plans to steal other people's foods and other people's water and things like that. And it ended up with them forming almost this dark cabal of disgruntled workers who hated the Imperium, hated their ruling classes, hated everyone other than themselves. And through that, the Whisper of Chaos came.
So the Dark Cabal met in secret in the depths of the planet, making necessary incantations to the gods of chaos themselves. They began weaving a spell as countless innocent blood was spilled. And you can't see my hands are like all over the place. I really wish we recorded this kind of stuff.
No.
It'd be like,
woo! Stop reading the notes, silly.
No, okay, cool. So basically, these dudes met, they're in the depths, they started doing
shut
a spell.
Up. Stop it. So what my colleague is saying is that, you know, these guys, they met under the planet, you know, in secret, in the dark places, and started weaving a spell, killing innocents to kind of bring about the gods of chaos, and Nurgle answered.
Pretty much you got your standard sacrifice, get the chaos gods here type thing. Heard it 1,000 times in every story, every chaos appearing story.
So, I mean, you know, out of this, you get chaos falling upon the planet. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a really quick thing. It was over months of them weaving this spell and slowly, you know, kidnapping people.
People
and killing
disappearing.
Them.
Like, it get hotter. It was getting hotter as it went. And,
yeah.
And, like, random taking and stuff.
It wasn't necessarily a new thing for the planet as well. That's kind of like, you know, people weren't really noticing because there's, you know, there's criminal gangs permanently on the planet, you know, however much the Iron Guard try and cut them off, they're always present.
You're always going to have the mobsters in the city when there's police.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And so they just kind of thought, oh, this is picking up a bit, but oh well, unknowing that this is a serious issue to their planet's security and chaos is falling.
So like after a long, 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 long summer, all of a sudden, like, mass eruption, the sky tore open, there was fire coming out and rain of fire.
Yeah, I like the way you're selling this.
It was good.
But
it
yeah, awesome. That's kind of pretty much what happened. I mean, you know, the skies ripped open and winged demons came flying out the streets started oozing plague and flies and you know, all this stuff started happening and Mordian clocked on very quick that this was chaos. You know, it was pretty obvious that this was chaos invading. So they send out the call through their astropaths to say, help.
Help us.
Yeah, we're being
help
invaded.
Help us, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope.
You know, sending out for aid from, you know, like we said, there's lots of Space Marine Legion worlds, you know,
very
or chapter worlds
by.
Quite close by. You know, you'd send out the call for help. But, the, you know, the power of chaos was so much that the minds melted the... You know, their minds just melted away.
The astropaths.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of.
The astropaths' minds melted. Turned to soup.
Yeah, yeah. Just, good, you know, soup. The power of the warp just killed them, and they didn't know if their message got out. So they had to act like they were completely alone. What we saw from that was that, you know, a lot of the population screamed, were getting cut down, were running away, going mad, you know, all the things that you expect in a Chaos Invasion, especially of a Hive world. You know, people running to the depths, trying to find a room just to hide in where they might just make it. Except for the Iron Guard.
They were there. They were stood in the streets, creating volley upon volley of
fire. They were, you know, immobilizing instantly. You know, these incredibly loyal, disciplined, fearless guardsmen. You know, it's quite a really cool story. When you read it, you're like, man, these guys, you know, they didn't just see demons and go, oh, we're screwed. They went, they like, we can do this.
We can
do
this.
They believed it. And it wasn't, I don't know, they come across a little bit arrogant. And maybe that's just because Sam was reading about them.
Whoa. So the Iron Guard basically started forming, not blockades, I don't want to say blockades, but kind of like strong lines.
We can't hold that area of the city, so why bother? We're going to stand here.
Very smart fighting in the city. And then they were just basically unleashing volley upon volley, like in earlier in the tactics. Volley upon volley of fire, and it was obviously very disciplined, and they fought to the last man and the last moment until they had to give up more and more ground. And like I was saying, they kept moving back very orderly, just giving the ground they could, but keeping the ground they could.
Very slow withdrawal, kind of holding off these overwhelming forces of demons. You know, just more and more pouring out of the warp, and the guard are kind of taking a step back, but then holding them there for half an hour, and then taking a step back.
But what was obviously really good about these, about Mordians, the Mordian Iron Guard, were that at that point they knew, right, we ain't going to do this. There's no way we're going to hold them here. Let's go back. Like, and very reluctantly, they all started moving back. They all started giving the ground back to Chaos. And basically let them run rampant across the entire planet. The Iron Guard then fortified the capital for a final battle. Every building in the capital city became a fortress. Every tower a strong point, and every street and plaza was effectively turned into a kill zone.
Yeah.
So all of them in buildings, creating like little kill sections. And so as soon as they started falling in, they were just being gunned down and mowed down.
Yeah, and the kind of the leadership of the Mordian Iron Guard had kind of taken control of the planet. You know, it was a city state at that point, you know, under police state basically, and they were leading everything from the palace in the center of the capital. You know, and they knew they were losing. They knew they couldn't hold out. So, like Sam said, they pulled back to the capital. They fought smartly and bravely. It wasn't like, oh, we don't care about those bits of the city. We don't care about even the other hives on the world. Just, we can't do anything about it, you know, and that's a hard decision and that's a hard call. And for them to be man enough to make that, the leadership of the Mordian Iron Guards, is pretty inspiring, really. It's like, actually, these guys knew what they were doing. They weren't just, we'll hold out. Oh, we're dead.
They were mindless Cadians.
Stop doing that. But, you know, these guys were like, right, we can hold them here. So we hold them here. It's very similar to...
No man steps further than this line.
Yeah. But it kind of reminds me of, you know, sorry to keep mentioning it, but like Lord of the Rings. And you get Rohan going to Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
Like, we can't fight the might of Saruman and Saruman just on our fields and in our towns. The only hope we have is the fortress.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's various... you know, comments about that, Aragorn wanting to get Theoden to go out and meet the enemy and, you know, call out for aid and all that kind of stuff, and Theoden's not having it. But it was clearly the right mood to go to the fortress to defend themselves.
Yeah. So when the battle obviously progressed further and the final assault began from the Chaos, it was Nurgle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Proper Nurgle was there.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of took the lead. There was, you know, just normal kind of Chaos warp beasts and things appearing. But, you know, Nurgle, for some reason we don't really know, decided, I'll have some fun. You know, and he sent, you know, plague bearers and plague drones and all the units that we have. You know, there's mention of great unclean ones. You know, not just one greater demon of Nurgle, but ones, you know, multiple, at least three with that kind of wording.
So at that point, all the preparation that the Iron Guard were paying off. They were channeling the Chaos Marines into prepared fire traps where they were destroyed by well-disciplined fire. Again, highlighting the well-disciplined fire, the volleys, the precision shots, and of course the bayonets. They don't like it up them. the defenders though were caught off guard, however, when a what's the word it uses here? Bedraggled
bedraggled horde
of cultists rose up from the sewers beneath them, sacrificing themselves in the thousands so that the Iron Guard were unprepared for the next wave of Chaos Marines and demons.
Yeah, oh yeah, by this point, we had Plague Marines and other Chaos Marines had come out. Actually, we could win here and take this, you know, cause this vital blow to the Imperium. You know, Hive Worlds was so depended upon. So, oh, well, we'll get involved. And these cultists, you know, from that original cabal and spread, you know, especially as more and more demons came, some went mad and died, but others saw demons and went, well, I'm going to follow that.
Yeah.
You know, as normal, you know, kind of join the winning side, as it were. So, you know, like you say, they come out of the sewers and they're kind of, you know, getting cut down by the Iron Guard, which must have been hard. You know, these are their citizens that they're there to protect.
Yeah.
And they're still having to, you know, kill them and kill them and kill them.
Yeah.
But they caused so much of a delay that the Marines and the demons and the great unclean ones could push through, and they didn't have enough time to basically reload.
So at this point, they, although they were being not overwhelmed, but as they were unprepared from the underground chaos attack for the next wave of chaos, they started losing ground, but not the lines weren't destroyed. The lines were kept.
Yeah, it says they never broke.
No, they never broke, but they were continually moving backwards. So they fell back towards the centre of the city with, obviously, all the tactical brilliance and discipline that the best Imperial troops could hope for. And, yeah, eventually there would be no more ground for them to give, and they eventually started surrounding the Imperial... Well, the not the Imperial Palace, the Tetrarchal Palace.
It's still an Imperial Palace. Still a city, a world of the Imperium.
So they were forced to fall back towards the palace... which they use as their last stronghold on the planet, under the glare of the burning city around them, from basically the chaos running havoc,
everything on fire,
they fortified the position further, and this would be the last stand. So in a movie, if this was going to be a movie, this would be the bit where Mel Gibson stood on top of the horse and was just like, "They never take our freedom," as I fought the last little bit
in Braveheart. For those that have not seen that film,
or don't understand
what's going on. But yeah, you know, this is the last act. This is, you know, we're going to go down fighting. We've had to pull back to the palace. You know, countless millions lost, but we will not give up this world.
I like how the next line talks about how great unclean ones,
yeah,
multiple ones,
yeah,
shuffling, just yeah, keep on shuffling,
just blah, 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 blah. Yeah, just these giant plague-ridden bulbous
just shuffling forwards while plague marines were surrounding them with plague flies.
Yeah, that's horrible, man.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
So proceeding by a plague of flies, which buzzed around the Iron Guard, crawled into their eyes and their ears, filling their mouths with their hairy bodies. What awful imagery is that, to say that they're going to have flies crawling around their face?
Yeah, that's so disgusting. Yeah, and even with all of this, they never stopped. They never faltered. They carried on with their routine discipline. They carried on firing into anything that came close enough. And they were holding out and holding out and holding out, just thinking, I'm going to kill as much as possible before I die. You know, they must have been thinking that. They're at the palace. There's nothing else going on for them. You know, as far as they know, there's been no call for aid. No one's coming. This world is lost, but we're damn not just going to give up. It's kind of, you know, it's that admirable discipline and unwillingness, you know, that iron resolve.
The Iron Guard.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably why they're called that, you know.
So
where are we at? So, basically these guys are all forming lines, shooting things, you know, waving their arms around, trying to get flies off them.
And then basically when the captains of the Mordian Guard, they ordered the final stand, the final lines to be formed up on the palace steps to prevent further ground being given to the chaos. It was to give one last volley, one last shove a bayonet up them. before the forces of chaos would take over the entire city. Although the story takes a twist.
Yeah. Well, unbeknown to, I find this a bit weird, but unknown to, I think when it says them, it means the Mordians.
Yeah.
Because chaos probably knew what was going on. The spell that was originally cast is almost, you know, used up all its energy. The warp rifts are starting to close. It's becoming harder and harder for the demons to stay on the planet.
Yeah.
And just beyond the planet's orbit, Imperial Psykers had been busy weaving their own counterspell, trying to shut it. The message had got out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Imperial Psykers were trying...
Yeah. Our only hope.
So, yeah, Imperial Psykers are trying to shut the portal off-world, as well as just the sheer amount of demons coming through. It was just spending all of its energy.
So at the moment, all of the demons started fading from existence, and the sky changed back to its customary black, overcast, slightly overcast way of not having any
rather
sun.
Rather than crazy purples, flames, mentalness.
Revealing orbiting Imperial starships, the victory was achieved thanks to the entire lead to the Iron Guard and the heroic defence, buying enough time for Psykers to work their abilities.
Yeah, so, you know, here we have the Iron Guard responding straight away to the Chaos Invasion, falling back when necessary, but not falling back without, you know, like we said, that discipline withdrawal.
Yeah.
You know, not giving up an inch unless it was tactical to do.
So how would you represent these on the tabletop?
You
could do this in a guard list. But you could do it.
Oh, easily. A normal guard codex would work fine.
You put commissars, a lot of commissars in each unit, and it would get the
fearlessness. Yeah, that's true, to get the fear, you know, or priests. Priests help with that?
I don't know. I have a codex right here.
Have a look. But yeah, you're talking lots of guardsmen.
Yep.
You know, probably not conscripts, because actually they're not, although you get a lot of guardsmen cheap, they're not very disciplined.
Yeah.
Like they're like BS2 and things. So I'd probably go for mass infantry platoons with, you know, las cannon, heavy weapon platoon.
Yeah.
Like loads of those, because they like using them, you know, grenade launchers and vox casters in each of your platoon squads. You've obviously got company commanders. You've got your platoon commanders. They're all kind of quite necessary, I'd say.
I think you'd have commissars, because you'd have aura of discipline. Any friendly unit within from a codex within 6 inches of Lord Commissar uses leadership for any fear and morale.
So yeah, that would help. Leadership. The only thing about commissar is he obviously executes someone because they're trying to run away.
Semi execution, yeah.
And I'd probably say that wasn't that fluffy.
No.
I mean, what does a priest do?
Which one, sorry?
I can't remember advisor. What they're called. No, he's like free. He doesn't take up a HQ slot. I can't remember what they're called. Something priest.
Ministerium priests?
Yes. What do they do? I think they give them stubborn.
War hymns. The priest can take a leadership test at the beginning of each fight sub phase, which he's locked in combat. Test success for one of them.
No, not that.
No, they don't give anything.
I think they do something. What
Emperor
are their specials?
Reroll failed armor, pretend in vulnerable state, Emperor's strengths.
What are their special rules?
Independent character, Zealot.
Also, Zealot gives them hatred. So they're re-rolling in close combats and stuff. That would be really cool. That makes some sense.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not that. I don't know.
You go for a regimental advisor.
Not sure.
Astropaths, Navy orders. I think the easiest way of doing it is putting Lord Commissars.
Yeah, a Commissar would be... Well, you'd only be able to have two if you were staying bound. Whereas priests, you can have
but then,
loads.
If you had, you could have two Lord Commissars, but then you can have... That's per platoon, isn't it?
No. Commissars are HQs.
Yeah, but you can
They're
have
over
two.
The whole army.
Yeah, but you can have two. But then you can have 2 to 5 infantry squads. So you can have potentially 10 infantry squads between the two commanders.
Yeah, but they're not... Yeah, that's 50 guys in each squad.
And have them in line. So it's doable.
Yeah, you can do it. You've got to kind of, you know, get your head around the logic of the fluff for each one. I wouldn't use commissars just for that reason, that they execute someone for trying to fall away, whereas the Iron Guard just don't.
But then they obviously have...
I think there's... I swear there's ways of making them stubborn or making them... I don't think you can make them fearless, but I think you can get, like, re-rolls to your leadership. And I thought it was priests, but maybe not.
Krieger stubborn?
Yeah, that's not a bad way. Looking at Forge World rules for Krieg.
He's the Krieg
They
rules.
Like mass infantry, yeah. Artillery fire. That's kind of quite Mordian. But like I said, I mean, in the basics of it, I'd have lots of infantry platoons.
Yep.
With grenade launchers, voxcaster upgrades.
Yep.
So you can get orders out to them. You know, a company command squad to give the orders of the first rank, second rank fire.
With the banner.
Get back in the fight. Yes, and also you can add the banner, which is very iconic and fluffy. You know, and then you can have heavy weapon platoons of las cannons.
Yeah.
And then just add some tanks, because all guard regiments use them. You know, like you've got the armoured regiments you read out. You know, 13 Lehman Russes, I think, was one of them.
Yeah, one of them was, yeah.
Like, buy 13 Lehman Russes if you want.
Yeah, done.
And then you've got an armoured regiment, and then just do the male regiment.
It's really
cool
you can do this, do them. I think they'd be really cool force to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be my next force, but I think in terms of...
It would be cool. Very cool.
My only issue with the majority Imperial Guard... Majority Imperial Guard is that, like you said, people either do Krieg... Not Krieg, sorry. They either do Cadia or... what are the other guys?
Like Catachans.
Catachans.
Catachans. But that's just because they're the kits GW produced.
Exactly. So I reckon this would be quite an interesting force to put down. Like, Mark's got Bretonians. Bretonians are awesome looking.
Yeah, man. But they're... I mean, Mordians aren't as expensive as, like, Voistrans or Valhallans.
Yeah.
But if you look for them on eBay, but they're still quite expensive.
Yeah, but then you, like, I mean, you buy, like, a...
You're talking, like, £100 for 10.
Then you go to a third-party...
Yeah, you well, something like Salute.
Something like Salute.
Salute would have Mordians. Oh, man, if they had Mordians... Oh.
But then you just buy different heads. You could do the Cadia and have, like, tactical gear or something like that.
Yeah, you could have them in the Cadia armor and then just stick on the Mordia head.
Different heads.
Like the kind of but then still not cap. What? But it just wouldn't look quite right. I think you have to have the Mordian models to do it.
Or just buy a load of Napoleonic
models. Yeah, or find some 28mm third-party models that look like Mordians. I'm sure they're out there, to be honest.
That could be cool.
Because I know there's companies that are making Praetorian heads and do Praetorian torsos, I think. So, you know, they're probably out there doing Mordian ones as well and all the other Imperial Guard regiments that you can't get from GW anymore.
And that would be a really cool story to basically, well, to act out.
Yeah, you could replay it so well. Yeah. You know, hold this ground. Could almost do a kind of leveled campaign on it.
Mm.
Depending on how many turns you hold out from the chaos forces depends on the buff you get in the next one, or and there's rules in Cities of Death, there's rules in the Stronghold Assault books that you can use to reinforce buildings to make that every building's a fortress thing.
Yeah, and you get like you get to
minefields barbed wire and tank traps
and stuff like that.
It'd be so cool. So yeah, I'd love to do it.
Again, it's just another army.
Yeah, man, it's another army that would be huge as well.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. In some ways, I don't know, this is maybe me patting us on the back, and maybe I shouldn't, but like we said, you know if a Black Library book's good because it makes you want to do that force.
Yeah.
Doing this segment makes me want to do more Mordian Iron Guard. So that's cool. I mean, we've got excited from it. I hope you got excited from it, learned something about Mordian, learned something about this awesome Imperial Guard regiment, and a really cool battle that was actually pivotal.
Yeah.
You know, if that world fell to chaos, that would have been an Imperium Hive world that would have stopped producing stuff for the Imperium, that would have been in a very important part
location.
Of space,
very important
right
location.
By the Eye of Terror. You know, it would
Given
have been
a staging point.
Yeah, I mean, the Imperium would have exterminated that place, guaranteed. If they lost it to chaos, they would blow that world out of existence.
Yeah, they have so little faith in the Imperium.
Oh, they fully would. Because they wouldn't want to risk sending a chapter in a whole world falling to chaos. You know,
like, gone.
Just blow it up. You know, but at the same time, that would have been a huge loss. So it's a really cool story that, you know, a really cool background of a regiment, and a world that I maybe took for granted and just kind of saw it in the background and just, yeah, whatever. You know, how much space does it have in the Imperial Guard Codex? Like 6 lines?
A lot, yeah. One little bit on there.
They're so important and so inspiring to me about Guard. You know, the other Guards, I'm not that interested, but they are pretty cool.
Well, Krieg.
Krieg are kind of cool, but I don't know. They're just a bit, I don't know.
What? A bit what?
I'm not a massive fan of Krieg.
Why not?
Because they just like killing things.
Yes, and killing things is fine.
Whereas Mordian seem a bit more disciplined for me. but yeah, anyway, we're waffling. We'll end the segment there. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back with our last segment, Life in the Hobby. Hey guys, Matt from the Adeptus Terra podcast here. Just want to take this moment and advertise our Facebook page with you. If you want to get involved and share your thoughts and your feelings about this podcast, about what you'd like to see, or even share some of the stuff you're up to, we love seeing your hobby progress. Go to www.facebook.com/ the Adeptus Terra podcast, and we'll see you there. So welcome back to our last segment. This is Life in the Hobby. Today we're talking about the accessories around our gaming table. As many of you know who play quite regularly, there are a lot more books around our tables. There's a lot more objects, cards, all that kind of stuff. So we thought we'd spend this segment talking about that, maybe talking about the things that we have, we use, or the things we've seen on the internet, and it might be, or hopefully, be something new for you that you might want to invest in for your gaming and for your life in the hobby. So let's start with codec supplements.
So I
and all that kind of jazz.
But what do you count as codec supplements?
I guess I'm talking about, you know, obviously you've got your normal codecs there.
Yep.
You potentially got a supplement either on your iPad or even like a printed version, like Sentinels of Terror, for example, which doesn't necessarily replace your codecs, but is the main book you're using for your army. What else?
What about Imperial Knights?
Yeah, that's a supplement.
So, okay, hang on.
Well, that's a codex in its own right.
I've got my iPad here. Let's go have a look at my ebooks.
So, I guess a good example while you're doing that would be my Tyranids.
Okay.
So, my Tyranids, I have my Tyranid codex.
Okay.
Obviously, the rule book. Then I have the Forge World Imperial Armor book for the rules for the Demacheron and potentially the Barbed Hirador.
Yep.
I have my iPad there for my formation of Gene Stealers.
Cool.
And yeah, that's it. So what's that? That's Codex, Imperial Armor book, supplement, and rule book. So I've got four books. I mean, one of them's on an iPad, but four books on or by the gaming table now.
So I have...
for a army.
Oh, an army.
Not necessarily all of them.
All right, cool. So I've taken I have taken this army before using the Officio Assassinorum.
Yeah.
The Imperial Knights.
Yeah.
The Inquisition,
yeah,
and the Militarum Tempestus.
Okay, so
all four PDFs.
All four PDFs. So although it's all on one iPad, you're using four multiple books.
Trying to flip between books is mental. I'm never doing it again. Never ever do it. But I also have the Kill Team rule set, the old rule set.
Oh, really?
You can't just throw it away. But okay, looking on my PDF stuff, I've got Stronghold Assault on there.
Yeah.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. PDF sheets on different Baneblade types.
Yeah.
I also have my ticket to salute.
Oh yeah, I need to do that.
So I suppose for me, I use, if it's not going to be a big enough book or it's not going to be a codex itself, I'd rather have a PDF.
Yeah.
Or the ebooks they do. Of course.
It's nice and easy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easier than carrying around like 4 billion. Like today, for instance, even when I came down, I was going to be playing Imperial Guard. I also brought my Grey Knights book. My Blood Angels book.
Yeah.
My...
Yeah, see, I carry around only the books I need.
Rule book, loads.
Yeah. But you know, basically, just to highlight the fact that we have all these multiple books lying around, I mean, something that GW just started doing are box rules. So, like, the AdMech units came out the first week before the Codex. So the rules for that squad and points and everything were in the box. So you could even try them out, test them out, ally them in.
Well, look at the plasma kind of thing we talked about earlier. Yeah. That comes with the rules.
Yeah, yeah. Like, or your America gun.
America gun. Which are probably out of date now. You probably need the codex.
Yeah, probably.
But that's the thing. They brought them out, and then, like...
Yeah, it's a stopgap.
6 months later...
And they don't cost you anything.
Yeah, 6 months later, they brought out Stronghold Assault. Okay, you can just buy a new book, but or you could just decide not to use the new rule book.
Yeah. I think this is an interesting into this subject, because although that's all that stuff's a bit of a given... That stuff's out there and has been a progression of our gaming, and we have all of this stuff around us, you know, much more than we ever used to. Like when I started playing, which wasn't ridiculously long ago, I had a rulebook and a codex.
Yes, rulebooks, codex,
and that was it.
Maybe a dice.
Yeah, maybe a notepad with my list.
Yeah, actually. Or I made paper lists.
You know, yeah, tell me about it. You know, now I've got my phone or my iPad with Quartermaster to make my lists.
All about Quartermaster.
I'm using supplements, I'm using rule books, I'm using ebooks, I'm using PDFs, all that kind of stuff. And it almost feels quite essential to have some kind of technology around you.
iPad.
You know, yeah, for me, it's my iPad mini. Just perfect.
Well, I know for Chris, it's his Android, or Simon's his Galaxy Note. And so, obviously, it's not just iPad, but there we are.
Yeah. And that's a huge progression. And we're not saying go out and buy a tablet, because you might not be able to afford one. And fair enough. But they're
actually
really useful.
They're really useful. I really like them.
Yeah, and if you've got one and you haven't started using it for it, it's a really cool avenue to explore.
So what list builders do you use? You just use Quartermaster?
I started using Battlescribe.
Yeah, but then I was sick of the adverts.
The adverts were a bit annoying in the free version, but I think they're gone now anyway.
Okay.
From the new update. Yeah. But I found that because... I found quite a few errors in them.
Yeah, okay.
You know... I don't know why there was just like, oh, I can't give that guy metal bombs.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird. Why? Because the codex says I can. And yeah, I got to a point where I was double checking lists on Battlescribe with my codex. And then actually, it's not time saving at all.
No.
I'm basically making the list twice and making sure it works.
Mm.
Whereas with Quartermaster, I found that it's a lot more reliable.
See, before I found, because Quartermaster have pre-made lists that you can download from the website. Before that, I sat there and inputted my entire Blood Angel Codex.
I did the same for my Space Wolves.
Man, and then like a week later, I was like, oh, you can take me to templates.
Yes, I nearly punched you the day you told me that. But yeah, there's all these shared templates, and although they're you know, consumer written, I think, I haven't found an issue yet.
No.
And I mean, when I first used it, because I was having the problem with Battlescribe, I did check, and it was fine. So,
but even if you did find an issue, you can go in and edit that template anyway.
Yes.
So if you found you can't give a metal bomb, or I did find one issue where the teleport shunt for my Dreadknight, when they updated the rulebook, was still 60 points, where actually it's gone down to 30 or whatever it was now. And I found the issue. But what I did, go on, change it.
Yeah, that's really useful. The interface for, you know, putting in your own things.
You can also do it on the computer, can't you?
Yes, you can. Yeah. I mean, I do everything on my iPad.
But you have the ability to sit there.
You can do that with Battlescribe. The thing with Battlescribe is, I think if you're really into it and use it properly, it's as good.
Yeah.
But because I'm a bit lazy and just want the thing on my iPad and it works.
Yeah.
Then I find Quartermaster is a better base for that.
Well, I'm
not knocking Battlescribe at all.
No, not at all. They are really good still. But it's just like when people go, oh, I use Firefox because I like to be able to code my code or have mods. It's like, I just don't care. I'm not
Google Chrome.
I just don't care. Google Chrome, it works. Yeah. Done. It brings me up GW.
Yeah.
Not
the
a work.
The search bar is a Google bar.
I tell you, at work, because everything's got guns in it or gun titles, I can't look at any sites.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Welcome to the real world.
I used to work for a bank and that wasn't even the case.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. But yeah, so there's that. That's kind of our first bit, I guess, dip in the pond, as it were. You know, nature is, we've got a lot more around us, a lot more technology, a lot more amount of books and drawing forces from lots more sources. I'm trying not to rhyme that, but that's the only way I could think of it. You know, you're pulling a Night Titan, for example, into your Imperial Guard list.
Absolutely.
So you've got a Guard Codex and the Imperial Knight Codex.
And do you know what? Sometimes I would like to have the Knight Codex, but actually, for the two units that are in it, I ain't going to go and spend like 30 quid or however much it is.
Well, you probably bought that anyway, didn't you?
But it's having that extra book for two pages, effectively.
I know. I mean, for the Imperial Armor stuff I use in my NIDs, I have to bring that whole book with my codex. I could photocopy the pages. What I've actually done is I've put the two units into the Quartermaster because they weren't in there.
Okay.
So the Deemer and the Barbed Herodor are now in Quartermaster
in
my list with all their stats, all their upgrades, and an explanation, because you can write as much as you want on there.
Yeah.
So I don't actually need that book with me anymore.
No. But then but at that point, you kind of have that right to do that because you've
paid for the book.
The only thing that annoys me about this is when people download PDFs.
Yeah.
And I get it's not the cheapest thing to do. However, okay, hang on. If you've got a copy of the book, I see no issue downloading a PDF.
Yes.
Because you've bought the book. It's just like if GW actually put out like a PDF free download with a code or something.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to just use stolen PDFs or someone else's PDFs.
Yeah.
I just you're not helping the hobby.
Yes.
And then people moan about how much GW costs. This is because they probably have overheads from copyrights being stolen. Maybe it's the ideological me saying it, but
yeah, there'll always be both sides of the story, isn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you want to play that army and you love this hobby, like Carl was saying on the independent characters, you know, then do that. If you're not willing to do that, then don't be in this hobby.
Yeah.
I think that's as clear cut as it is.
Best thing about the e-publications is you can click on the rule and it brings up what the rule is.
Yeah, that's cool.
So like
the interactive version. I think only Apple get that.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry, Android users, come over to the good side.
Yeah, they just have e-books, so they can still read the rule, but you can't click on it. It hasn't got all the quick links.
Yeah. So I like being able to hit on Fearless and it come up with you are immune to fear,
and it does the same on the units, you know, so if you're on the Knight page and it's got the special rule list, you can click on that special rule and you haven't got to go find it in the book. But I find that really useful.
Yeah, because let's face it, we're lazy.
Yeah. Well, it's just a good product. I like what GW are doing. So awesome.
So like, so Ion Shield, for instance, and it brings up the fact that it's a 4-up invul save on any side of your shoes, and you can even go and look at the dictionary for that if you want, because you don't know what shield means. Or, but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
cool. I like
it's useful. Cool. Moving on. Let's start moving. Let's get into actual things you use to game with. Dice.
Ooh, dice. I have about 1,000 dice for a big bag. I just don't care about my dice.
I have quite a few dice.
See, I get, like you do, you have colours, different colour dice for different armies.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen into that by just having a ton of dice and being frustrated with carrying them everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just like, they're not heavy, but they just take up room.
What I'd like to do eventually is have the book, a tape measure, and a set of dice in the case.
Yeah.
So when I case my own, like my Grey Knights, I'll buy a set of purple dice or something like that.
Yeah.
And buy like a Wailing Games KR1 tape measure or something like that. And
yeah.
Have that in there. And then just literally pick up the case, walk out.
Yeah, it's something I've definitely been thinking about. I mean, I carry stuff around in like almost like a tin lunchbox thing.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
Yeah, that I got bought for Christmas as a bit of a joke present, but it actually fits, you know, your mouse room cards, your dice, your tape measure, your templates, everything in it. So I just empty it out and then put my other army into it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And then the other stuff just stays in the loft or stays in the cupboard.
Which is cool because it means that I can have those 5 cases stacked up and go, right, Grey Knights today. Just pick up the box and walk out.
Yeah.
None more of this shuffling around. It's fine stuff.
Yeah. Getting back to dice, though, there's, we've already kind of hinted at the bags and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the first thing is multiple colours of dice, you know, for your different weapons.
So I've got the a set of the limited edition Blood Angel, not Blood Angel ones, Mechanicum ones that they brought out when they brought out the Mechanicum sets, which are, I've got the Mechanicum on the one.
Yeah.
The one.
Don't get me into the way they're printed.
So the Mechanicum logo's on the one, but it's cool. I bought the 100 dice in that little cube thing, which is awesome.
That's cool.
They're cool. Like I wanted to get the ones for Blood Angels. But then I was like, do I really want to pay much money for Blood Angel drip?
I mean, you can get them printed. You know, a company called Chessex do it. Lots of people know about that already. They'll put your chapter symbol on whatever number you want. So on the actual 6, where it should be.
Oh, we'll have a pain coming up.
I've already done that one.
I think it's cool to be able to have personalized dice for the army. Again, it's just like a little nerd in me going, oh, I can have a red colored dice for my red army.
I'm a sucker for this segment of accessories because I am all about that. I love just I'm a geek at heart and I buy that stuff.
Yeah.
And GW could make a killing off that stuff alone with me.
Well, you went to Wayland the other day and bought a dice bag for orcs.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I mean, dice in general, you can have different coloured dice for your different weaponry, so that when you're shooting that 10-man tactical squad, you can roll the plasma gun in with it.
I have different shades of red.
Yeah, well, all sorts of things you can do, but. And they, technically you're supposed to shoot everything individually now, the way the 7th works, but it's a lot quicker. I mean, separate the wounds after you hit.
Yeah.
But if everything's hitting on the same ballistic skill, actually just put 2 blue dice in with your red dice and they're the plasma gun rapid firing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so much quicker. So I liked having a few separate colored dice in there. Until very recently, and we'll get to this, I used to have just orange dice for wound markers.
That's cool.
So I had 6 or 7 orange dice that I only ever used for wound markers and hole points.
Yeah.
So they didn't, so I didn't accidentally pick them up and roll them and, forget how many wounds that thing was on or whatever.
But now you've bought your...
Yeah, we'll get to them. We're in dice. Follow the system.
Dice are good. 1 to 6, roll of dice. Although, a 20-sided dice...
That's a good segue.
I keep a 20-sided dice in most of my packs just because it means that if I do a Maelstrom mission or if I'm doing an objective-based mission, then I can count up those on the 20-sided dice. Very rarely you're going to get above 20.
No,
then you've won, so stop.
I had a D12 and I found that the second game of Maelstrom I played, I went above that, so it wasn't enough. So I have a D20 to use as like you say, as points, especially with Maelstrom as you achieve, you can keep track of the points rather than having to keep track of where the cards are.
And then put a 3 on top of it if you've got 3 points.
You just add up as you go and it's just so much simpler, I find. Mm. And you can pick up D20s anywhere and they're like 50p.
Look at Salute. Salute have that dice company come and they have literally boxes of boxes.
And I'll probably buy a few there.
Do you remember we nearly bought that box of, was it 10,000?
I can't remember what it
was. It was like boxes pre-packaged dice.
Oh, yeah.
In like the beds that go under, the box that goes underneath beds and stuff. And it was literally, come pick them up, they're ready to sell.
Yeah.
It would have just gone as like a dice company. That would have been so good.
We were thinking about it, but then we did a podcast instead.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, I think it was around the same time.
It was probably around the same time when we were thinking about what to do.
We need to go into business together for some reason.
Yeah. All right.
All right, calm down.
I want to keep on track.
We are on track. We're talking about dice.
No, well, kind of. But, you know, I find my D12 useful for random allocation. So when a vehicle blows up now, you're supposed to do random allocation.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean take off the dude who's not important.
Yeah, no one else
which really everyone does that, you know.
Oh, I'm randomly allocating it to the pistol guy.
Yeah, and it is quicker to just do that and find whatever, you know, most people are just fine with that. But actually, having a D12 and being able to go, right, one is the sergeant, two is the melter gun, 3 to 10 are TAC Marines with bolters, and then the 11 and 12 are just reroll.
Yeah.
And you go, right, I've got, you know, you roll your wounds and your saves, you've made 3 saves. Right, cool, I need to allocate these 3 wounds. Right, wound 1, 7. Okay, that's a tactical marine die. You know, roll a dice. Oh, number 2, oh, that's my melter gun dead. Because it's supposed to be randomly allocated.
Yeah.
So I find it really useful for that. And again, if I'm playing only, not Maelstrom, but normal missions, I use the D12 as my points.
Yeah.
So First Blood, Slay the Warlord, and at the end, you know, I like adding up the points on the dice so I can see it visually rather than just...
Yeah. The amount of times I've gone, oh, I've got 12. Oh, hang on. What?
That's 11. No, wait. Is that 11 or is that 12?
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, adding it up as you kind of go and then, you know, even subtracting as you lose an objective, you could do it that way if you wanted to. Might get a bit confusing if you forget, then suddenly you're on more points than you were, but hey, do it yourself. But, you know, you can use different color dice, different types of dice, you know, D3. Is something that's actually quite prevalent in 40K, and I actually don't have a D3. I just use a D6 and add it up or take it down. You know, oh, I've got a 2, so that means it's a 1. Actually, having a D3 would make it a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll probably buy one of those at Salute.
Could do.
As we're going.
Man, your list for Salute's getting bigger.
Yeah, it is. So we've spoken about dice. The only other thing I want to talk about quickly is dice bags. So I keep most of my dice bags in a Forge World bag. Yeah, which, you know, is cool. It's the use of a bag, you know, get your use out of the kit, all you can get.
I think I keep mine in sunglasses bag.
Yes,
you know, the material sunglasses bag. Because I've got like 4 with a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
I'm never going to use that many. And they're quite good for dice. Or I've got those tins. So I was a little bit of a fanboy and bought the gamer edition of the 6th edition rulebook.
You did.
And got the bag.
The Lasgun pack.
The Lasgun pack stuff. I keep dice in there because it fits in the pouch of the Lascannon bag, of the bag, which is cool. You don't really get that many dice in there.
Yeah.
Not enough for...
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think bags are really useful because you can keep a load of dice in there, keep them safe. They're not going to fall out. They're not going to roll away, you know, as long as you get a decent enough bag. And, I mean, people are making money out of it now. I mean, you mentioned...
So Fantasy Flight.
Fantasy Flight make a couple of Games Workshop official bags. I bought one with an orc glyph on it for my orc dice, and my green and my blacks and my white are in there.
Fanboy.
I fully am, but that's what this whole section's about, really. And, you know, there's... Did you say the dice bag lady?
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about her.
Oh, okay, cool. So she's a lady... Who sells dice bags?
Oh, okay.
All right.
I kind of got that, but what? Like,
I think she has a website. They do different things. So they're like material, kind of like look like crochets.
Oh, really? Well, like woolen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And they have like one. They have like they have like the symbols on. They're not just they're like Star Wars as well, and they also do like Avengers and
cool.
I'm pretty sure it's an eBay account or maybe a website that says the dice.
Yeah.
Lady.
Okay. Well, the dice bag lady, Google it. It's fine.
Google.
But yeah, you know, having dice bags, I keep my orc data cards in with my dice. Just so again, I can just pick up that dice bag and I've got my...
That's a good idea.
I've got my objective markers in there. I've got my cards in there and I've got my dice in there. What I need to do, and this is going to sound really silly, but buy a D12 and a D20 and a D3 for each one.
Do it.
So like my orcs have ones. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. That's me kind of getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, it's the dicebaglady.net.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
And they're like I said.
She's at Salute.
She is at Salute. Definitely at Salute. But that's cool. They do like Unique or Maxi Army or Club Sets.
That's interesting. That's quite cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, I find them really useful to just organize your dice off of the table. I mean, a lot of us have the dice cubes from Games Workshop.
Yeah.
Right, and they're right, but the little catch breaks. I
throw mine away.
Right, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I've still got a couple because I use them for turn markers.
Yeah.
Turn counters, because otherwise, you know.
I always just.
I mean, we're not really talking about turn counters, but they're something that you can buy and people do get. I just use those because it's free and you've got something.
Didn't GW used to do the ones which sit on the side of the board?
Yeah, the little cogs. Arrows. Yeah, yeah, there was a set that did vehicle damage markers.
Yeah, have you got those?
Yeah, I've got those, but I haven't got the cogs.
Interesting segue?
Huh?
Is that an interesting segue?
It is, but we're not quite down there. Wanted to talk about templates and how you can get personalized army ones. Again, something that I've done for my Space Wolves. And then I've got the normal green GW ones that I use for my orcs.
See, would you feel... like getting a third party one, how do you know they're going to be the right size?
I guess I didn't. I bought them and then put them up against my Games Workshop ones, and they were. Yeah. Like they said on the eBay seller who made them, basically said, you know, they match the GWs, the templates are used, etc., etc. So I went, oh, well, they must be all right, and then got them, and I checked them. You know, it's worth checking them just to make sure.
It's that faith point, isn't it? It's having the faith in them.
Yeah, well, let's face it, if they're going to put up something that's made badly and wrong, then people are going to get bad reviews, then they wouldn't sell anything. So, like, yeah, you know, I checked out, making sure, you know, I don't really buy anything from an eBay seller unless they're, like, 100% or 99% on their review or rating.
Yeah.
So I got a set of those. I mean, I'm not necessarily planning on getting any different ones for my Tyranids. I just kind of switch the green ones around. I mean, half the time I don't even bring my Space Wolf ones.
Templates are templates.
But they exist. Like, they exist. They're out there. If you're a fanboy a bit like me with the Space Wolves, then go and look and find someone doing it. If you're skilled enough, do it yourself. You know, get some cool templates that you can see through, then you're away. Other than that, I mean, the things I've got on this list are all markers now. So, like, vehicle damage markers, objective markers, wound markers.
So I've got the cool ones from Burncraft.
Yeah, Burncraft Co. Yeah. It's our friend Chip who made them, burnt them into wood.
I know, I was talking to him recently, and he said literally just anyone wants a set or wants to have their own made personally for them, then just to drop in, go through the website and drop him in a mail.
Yeah, he's also on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
So you can find him, just Burncraft Co.
Yeah,
You should be able to find him pretty easily. So that's quite cool. What else? I've got objective markers I've made.
What, the orc ones?
Like my orc ones, which are all kind of like missiles stacked up, like they've been kind of looting and grabbed all these unused missiles and started piling them up, which is obviously a dangerous thing, but orcs don't care. And I've got another one with like fuel barrels and what are the canteens? Are they called canteens? Like the little metal things you'd fill with oil or petrol.
A jerry can.
Those things. Loads of those on the base. And again, orcs are storing them up to fuel their trucks. And obviously, they're piling them all together so you can target them and blow them up and make a big boom. But yeah, so I really enjoyed making those. And I've got, for my Tyranids, I bought a set of, I think they're to go with like a Space Hulk board, but like Tyranid eggs.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I bought those and I'm painting them up and I've mounted them on Terminator bases.
That's cool.
And with my Space Wolves, I bought from eBay little, I don't know what you call it, the green plastic stuff, like what the templates are made out of.
Yeah.
With the Space Wolf logo engraved in them,
yeah,
like flags. And again, I mounted them on Terminator bases.
That's
and
cool.
They're my objectives for my Space Wolves.
See, I don't really have I've only got the Imperium ones, but then all my armies are Imperium.
Yeah, so. At the moment, you're all right. I've also got ones that Simon made me.
Yes.
From work, he made some kind of slightly less than a Terminator base, I think they are.
Yeah.
Numbered 1 to 6 for Maelstrom.
Cool.
And they've got an Orc logo glyph on them.
Cool.
For my Orcs, so they are in my Orc dice bag.
Cool.
There's lots of people out there making objective markers, especially when Maelstrom came out, so yeah. Numbered 1 to 6. Most people have some kind of way of doing this if it's not a base just painted with the number on it.
Or GW produced the ones with the servo skulls with the platforms below them that you put the dice number
on. Yeah, they were for 6th edition, weren't they? And yeah. they were the numbers on them are for the scouring.
Yeah, because they had 1 to
so yeah,
one,
and they have all three, sorts of different whatever. Things on them.
But no, that was cool. I like it. I do like a good objective marker.
Yeah, I think they're really useful. They're easy to see. And you can get really creative with them and have, you know, unique ones, whether you build them or buy them off of, you know, online that someone spent time making. They can look really, really cool and almost like just give a little edge to your army.
Yeah.
It's like now this accessories is like something, you know, someone looks at your accessories. Oh, wow, you've got, you know, objective markers that match your army, are based the same or are, you know, painted to the same standard or just match the army's theme. Same way with templates. I think that stuff's actually picked up on and noticed a lot more than people give away. I mean, vehicle damage markers, I actually still use the ones GW produced, I think, back in 4th edition.
I just count up.
5th edition, 5th edition. Well, the thing is with dice, and I mean, I used some today when we were playing, I still do it, but actually having the marker with the symbol on it...
It reminds you.
It reminds me that's the effect. I can just glance around the table and I know what's going on.
I get why. I do understand why. I just, for me, it's just... That's where I draw my line unnecessary. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I'll buy templates, I'll buy objective markers. Sure. It's just at that point, it's just like, I can use dice for that. And I'm not going to pick them up because they'll be on the actual vehicle.
Yeah, I think in some ways that's got more of a good argument to it because a vehicle's quite a big thing.
Mm.
You know, I mean, when you move the vehicle, a dice can fall off, so can a token.
Mm. But the token's easier to put back on.
I mean, there's a really cool product, and I won't talk too much about it because on the Independent Characters latest episode they've got an interview with the actual guy.
Oh, cool.
But it's a company called ModCube.
Okay.
And it's basically a dice that you pull apart.
Okay.
It's got two halves.
Yep.
And you slide tokens and they make the tokens into the dice.
Oh, okay.
So then it's basically our two things together.
Yeah.
So rather than it just being like this big token or this base or something like that, it's a dice, but it's got the actual effect on it rather than just like a number.
That's cool.
So I find it, I'm like, oh, five. What does that mean? Does that mean I've lost the weapon? Is that immobilized?
Yeah.
Like the different additions bleed into themselves.
God, yeah.
So actually having the symbol really helps me, and that's why I use the damage markers.
Oh, cool.
Something I picked up this month that I mentioned and didn't mention at the same time was wound markers, little tiny critic skulls that, I say tiny, they're not...
Smaller
like
than
you wouldn't lose them. Yeah, you sound like that.
Yeah, about 5p size.
Yeah, for those that
but
understand
one size,
that.
Oh, okay. A dime? No, that could be.
No.
Penny?
I don't know. It's fairly small. It's smaller than a 25mm base.
Okay. You
know, maybe, I don't know, 10mm?
It's about a M&M.
Yeah, Smarty.
Yeah. Generic sweet.
Yeah.
No, they're cool. I seeing yours, I do like them. They're silver one side, black the other.
Yeah, I don't know why that. Do you know what? On the website, they're advertised as black.
Okay.
And then I prefer the silver side.
Yeah. They're pretty cool. That's a good way of marking because trying to balance a dice on top of. Like, I've done it before when Mephiston's got a wound. Not that happens often. And Mephiston moves away and I just forget to pick it up. Yeah, I'm going to cheat here. It's just it's a dice.
Or you pick it up to roll it. And often you remember. I mean, it's not like you're playing Apocalypse where there's a billion units. You know, you're like, oh, he had a wound. Where's that dice gone?
Yeah.
But actually having those skulls, it's like, what are those skulls doing there? Oh, they must be his wounds.
Yeah.
Because they're not used for anything else.
But then I know, like, say, Simon and Ben and Chris all use those gems, the gemstone things.
Yeah, so that's something else on my list. They all use kind of little gems or little rocks. I don't know what you'd kind of call them, that are a bit shiny, that stand out, and they'll use those for hole point marking and wound marking.
Yeah.
And I'm more than fine with that. I just kind of like the aesthetic of the skulls.
Yeah.
Like, he's taken all blood drips. You know, I've seen ones with blood drips in red. They're quite cool. So I might purchase a few more of those. I bought a set because I felt like we were talking about them. I should have some. I bought a set.
That's how you got your wife to agree to buying them.
Yeah, I'll probably buy like one or two more sets actually, because then I can just put them in a dice bag and they're ready for each army.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I'm trying to really organize my stuff so I don't forget anything.
Put it in a case, pick up one case. You got
it. Yeah, that kind of idea. I mean, again, like I was saying, you know, life is moving forward, I guess is the right word, and I'll have less time to play. So I'll probably have less time getting ready to play.
Yeah.
So actually, have I got that will be a lot harder to do.
Mm.
So actually being able to go, I know it's all in this little box. I know it's all in this bag.
Yeah.
Done.
Easy.
So I'll probably do that.
Nice straightforward.
But yeah, I mean, that kind of leads me on to my last point. How do we carry all this stuff?
Well, I like I said, I've got the bag from 6th edition, the gamer's satchel.
Oh, yes, so it's a satchel bag, basically.
The Imperial Guardsman.
It's not a handbag, it's a satchel.
Basically, yeah. it's cool, because Indiana Jones has one. So
yeah, it's all fine.
It's cool. So I have that, which generally will hold a rule book, a couple of codexes, dice, tape measure, and templates, and anything you really need in there. What I've been saying all through the episode, I kind of want to try and get to put it in a case, like an army case, like the new GDW ones, and put them in there, just because it means that it'll be easy enough for me to just pick up a box and go.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to worry about, oh, where's that tape measure? Where's all this? Just you know, when at the moment I've got quite a lot of space, but when inevitably when I move in with my girlfriend.
Fiance,
damn. But I'll have less space. So this will make it easier and quicker just to pick up a box and go.
Yeah. I think it's a sensible way of looking at it.
Mm.
I mean, for me, I have a satchel that I carry all my books in.
Yeah.
I know Simon uses a KR backpack and they've got a slot for books.
They're cool.
So that's quite cool. Or just a normal backpack. You know, people use those. That's fine. I've already mentioned I got this like Doctor Who lunchbox tin thing as a kind of joke present for Christmas.
That's cool.
And I just chuck everything in that because actually everything fits.
Yeah.
And then it's not quite pick up a box and go because it doesn't fit absolutely everything in it.
But no.
I trade out the Maelstrom cards for the right army.
Yeah.
I trade out the psychic cards. I trade out the dice for the dice bag.
Yeah.
And then I'm away.
Of course.
You know, and the tape measure stays in there and the templates stay in there.
Yeah. KR produce like a little box?
Especially
a tin that splits in half, like they're all, you know, the hard cases.
Yeah.
Splits in half, and then that's where dice go. It'll fit a dice, tape measure, and cards, which is quite cool.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
Looked at that a few times.
You can roll in it as well, can't you? It's like made to kind of keep your dice off the table.
Yeah, which is cool, because the amount of times I just leave all my dice in a crater, and then like, I'm going to run for that crater now. I have to move all my dice out of the way.
Yeah, I end up with dice all over the table.
Absolutely.
Just because I don't keep them tidy. I know people like keeping their dice together and tidy.
Yeah.
Where I don't have like a dice cube or a certain number of each colour.
Yeah.
Which I know some people do.
Yep.
I just kind of like, oh, well, they're everywhere. Whatever I get back is what I get back.
And that's...
Saying that, I have lost like 4 scatter dice that way.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a problem.
I have 13 scatter dice.
Yeah. But there you go. You know, we've been speaking about accessories, all the things that are available out there. Give them a look. There's all sorts of companies out there. Two I wanted to mention that do really cool stuff, kind of just started to discover, is one called mechanicalwarhorse.com. They make all sorts of little tokens and wound markers and all that kind of stuff. They're really cool. And TTC Combat. And they are, or is it, I think it's TT Combat or TTC. And they are on eBay, and they make everything out of like little MDF tokens.
Cool. So
they also make flat pack scenery. They're the guys who made that cannon, my MDF anti-air gun. They have turn markers, wound markers, all that kind of stuff, and their stuff's really cool too. So check them out. I don't know if you're a guy I don't know if you're a person who games. Using all these kind of accessories, I find them really useful.
He's a big accessory man.
Yeah, I find them really useful. You know, they keep my head in the game. I can quickly glance and see, right, that guy's taken 2 skulls. So that's really, you know, he's got 1 wound left. That Land Raider has got an immobilized marker on it. So I know that's immobilized. I don't have to look and go, oh, a 6. What does that mean? Is that a wreck? No, wait, that was 6th edition. Oh, no, hang on a minute. It was that 5th edition. You know, I struggle with that. So having those markers really helped me. And as the game progresses and becomes more, I don't want to say complicated, but versatile, I guess. You know, where lots is happening, lots of different effects are in play. Does that unit have feel no pain because of a psychic power or not? You know, all those kind of things never used to be in this game before, and now they are. So I think these accessories are just going to be more and more prevalent on people's boards. So go check them out. Get the ones you want. Don't have the ones that you don't want.
Mm.
Simple. But, you know, we've spoke about what we've got and why we use them. And hopefully that's given you some ideas or either put you off some or made you want to get some.
Get some.
Have it as you will.
Cool.
Let's take a break, come back with our final thoughts and wrap up this episode. Hey guys, Matt from the Adeptus Terra podcast here. Just want to take this moment and advertise our Facebook page with you. If you want to get involved and share your thoughts and your feelings about this podcast, about what you'd like to see, or even share some of the stuff you're up to, we love seeing your hobby progress. Go to www.facebook.com/theAdeptusTerra podcast. and we'll see you there. Well, I really loved this episode. I found it challenging to not start a Mordian army.
I really actually quite enjoyed reading more about Mordian.
Yeah, it was cool.
Like, I've obviously had the Grey Knights, the Pure Guard Codex for a while. Or Astra Militar, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I've actually never really heard of them. I saw them sort of dressed up in the Napoleonic, but never really sort of paid them any attention. So it's quite cool to learn about a new army for the podcast.
Yeah, I think every time we do one of these, I learn something new. And sometimes it's a little, like the Lion, I knew most of that stuff, but it was cool to share it. And other times like this, you know, I learned quite a lot. Reading into detail about the battle, reading more about the way they fight and their background and the background of the world.
Yeah.
And because we'd done the Hive Worlds in the very first episode, I knew the stuff, it was already in my brain.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, they live on a Hive World. Oh, I already can picture what that looks like because we've already done it as episode one. So that was really cool, kind of having that experience. Accessories, love them. Going to have more probably. That's all I've got to say about accessories.
Right.
Let's end there. It's been a brilliant episode. The episode with many starts.
Yeah.
Episode 8. We'll see you at episode 9.
Yes.
See you later.
I'm here. Talk to me.
I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid.
I had one of those really sour sweets.
And your face. But yeah, are you recording?
Yep, of course. Always recording. I need to learn how to spell fiance. Fiance.
F-I-A-N-C-E with a
whoop. Why have you got an Oasis?
I asked if you wanted a drink and you said no.
Okay.
Do you want one?
No, I'll get one after.
I'll probably do this bit without you anyway. No, I'm Matt. I'm Sam. All right, now that idiot's gone. No.
Do you know what? I really want to take this off and have a t-shirt on, but I haven't got it. I'd be naked, so we couldn't record naked again. Like, that was really awkward last time. It got a little bit cold.
You start. I'll join in a minute.
Well, I'm recording with Sam out of the rooms. Hello and welcome to episode 8. I'm Matt.
It gets rid of all of the... I'm Sam.
In the past, in the future, weird, timey-wimey, bibbly-bobbly-boop. We've got a lot to share with you. I say a lot to share with you. We've got enough to share with you, which is Farley.
Farley? Well done. Good work for making up.
I know what I'm trying to say.
Which was awesome. Awesome. You all right?
Yeah, sorry, I dropped that little toy bike.
Right, okay.
Eat a large breakfast and bring lots of lunch. The PVC stuff.
Okay.
Stop rustling your bag.
What's some rainbow belts?
Yeah, I'll have one of those.